Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday, March 27th, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room, the fastest 3 hours on the internet. Starts now, and we are absolutely loaded today. Now, X is currently under cyber attack, and it's really an ongoing phenomenon, and I don't know how much involvement Musk currently has with X, given he's basically hiding out, living at the White House, because there are probably multiple hit teams with a hit on him. And at least he believes that. His security team believes that. And so President Trump is, well, he has invited him to live at the White House, and it's a safe, secure environment for Musk while he's doing all of his Doge work. And if you think about it, it should be the number one story, but we're talking about maybe the biggest criminal enterprise in the history of this country, the history of the world, hundreds of billions of dollars stolen, and then kickbacks to the politicians, their family, their friends. We've all seen it in Doge. I have some updates with Doge today in my stacks. But because X was down, my video list is a little short, because that's where I do my video archives, share them with the crew. But I mentioned that, and it's this ongoing thing. And again, I don't know if Musk is even really involved with X right now. X is basically under cyber attack 24/7. It's pretty much a 24/7 around the clock cyber attack. But then when some real big group heavy hitter gets involved, they can actually shut it down and disrupt the functioning of the app, the website. Whereas normally it's just kind of glitchy here or there. You probably notice it if you're a regular user. It's just 24/7. 24/7 X is under attack. And that's just an example of what we're all going through. We're all under attack at multiple levels. Your body is under attack. The food with the chemicals, the water with the fluoride, the crap they spray in the sky. And then, of course, the political persecution, the censorship, the burden of taxes and regulations just crushing you. And then you're expected to be involved in every foreign conflict, every war. They just can't leave you alone. Will we ever know what it's like to be free from this criminal group that sits on our heads? Now, Trump has taken some political action today to try to relieve us of this entity. We'll be covering that as well. I've also got some geopolitical news, because we can't just get away from it. And it's not like I want to come on here and talk about Israel all day long. Your government forces you to. Your media forces you to. As I predicted, the illegal immigrant with probably little to no driving experience, and this is a huge phenomenon, and Sarah Fields, who we credited with the story, is doing a deeper dig, but they bring in illegal immigrants, they replace American freight drivers, truck drivers, they replace them with illegals for probably half the cost to haul the freight. These big companies like Amazon, they have no driving experience. They get in a wreck, kill 5 people. Hasn't even made the news. And it looks like the company that's hiring all this out, fast-tracking visas to get this cheap labor. So, you know, maybe there's an interest from the mainstream media not to cover that story. But they'll tell you all day long about a college student suffering from anti-Semitism, and then they have a hearing on anti-Semitism today, because you just haven't gotten enough of it. And then they arrest this woman who hasn't even been on a university in a year, who wrote a piece about Palestine a year ago, and she's gotten arrested just walking the streets. They just pick her up off the streets. It's crazy. So I got that, and then we're going to get an update on the Mike Waltz situation as more developments come in here. And look, it really is not good. It's actually a pretty big deal. And it's not even necessarily about the contents of the text. The contents of the text have their own issues. It's more of an issue of what actually led to all this, and who is Trump really dealing with inside of his administration.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, everything we broke down over the years has turned out to be dead on. Most of the time when we were a little bit off, it was because things were much worse than we were saying. But in the main, we've been dead on. That's our mission, be the most accurate out there. MSM's mission is to deceive you, lie to you, because they're mercenaries for the globalists. And we're funded by viewers and listeners like you. So we try to bring you products that really work, that you're going to love, so you come back and get them again and again. So many of you are going to be excited to hear that our ultimate turmeric formula is back in stock. The Shilajit is the best quality. The Irish Sea Moss is available as well. You're going to want to reorder it. But for viewers that haven't ever gotten the products and haven't experienced them, you are missing out. If our information is game-changing and one-of-a-kind, imagine what the products are like. Go now to TheAlexShowStore.com. There's not just great supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and more at TheAlexShowStore.com, powering the American resistance to globalists worldwide and winning.
Sometimes you give the crew a little too much creative leeway here, and you gotta bring them back down to earth. I don't know why they're starting the show with this. I don't think that's Grok doing it. Grok is down too with the X outage. Grok is out as well. But it's this new trend on social media where you take a famous image and turn it into a cartoon. It's pretty cool. I mean, AI does some cool stuff, but I don't know what I had nothing to do with that, so I don't know what that's about. So let's get back to business here now. I actually want to start the show a little lighter today because we've kind of come out hot lately, this week specifically. We've come out a little hot. So I kind of want to start it lightly and just get into some of the developments out of the White House and then explain this ongoing situation with Mike Waltz and the Signal Gate, as it's being called, and then they're going to drag Hegseth into court. So it's clearly turned into, whether it was intended this way or not, you can have the debate, but it's clearly turned into an operation to get rid of Pete Hegseth. So was he set up for this, or was it somebody that set Mike Waltz up, or was Mike Waltz the guilty party, and then in the aftermath they're just going after Hegseth? But there it is, second day in a row. I didn't even look at the Drudge Report today. Second day in a row, they have Hegseth at the front of Drudge, which is all basically Democrat propaganda now after Matt Drudge sold it. In case you didn't know that, it's not Matt Drudge anymore. You tip your cat to Drudge. You made a decision. That's fine. Hope he's enjoying his life. Somewhere on a beach right now, nice and warm. But so you can see now, it's turned into this, we gotta get Hegseth. Get Hegseth. They've wanted Hegseth out. By the way, they're running these new attack pieces on Hegseth because of some tattoos he has on his body. And I checked with a lot of my friends that served in Afghanistan or served after 9/11. Very common tattoos. It's kind of just very common. A lot of them go there and get the exact same tattoo. So it's just kind of some military culture. Oh, but now, oh, they're attacking him for that now, too. So it's all this attack on Hegseth. And, well, I'm not trying to lead with this, but you could argue that, well, this was an inexperienced move to do what he did, to share it, and it shouldn't have happened, and Hegseth isn't qualified for the position he's in. Well, I would push back, not that I would maybe disagree, I would push back and say, Hegseth is actually the perfect person for the job, and if this is the biggest mistake he makes, then we're doing pretty good, actually. Because Hegseth is an American patriot. He does care about our active duty soldiers and our veterans, and he will be loyal to Trump and to the Constitution. So it's like, as long as you can check off the basics now, that's like, okay, you're good to go. Whereas, we covered yesterday, how did some of these other members of the Trump cabinet pass the smell test? Who's doing the vetting? But we'll get to that coming up with some of the latest developments. Now, There's a lot of activity happening on the Hill today. We'll be going to Tim Burchett to talk about that. You know, I should also mention this before I dig into the news. Before we signed off yesterday, friend of the show, Alex Rosen, who is one of the most prolific predator catchers out there. He's known as the predator poacher. Well, he busted a pedophile, alleged pedophile, in Branson, Missouri yesterday. And instead of arresting the child abuser, they arrested him. Now, this was an ongoing case. They ended up arresting the other guy, too. But Alex is going to join us, and he did make a phone call from jail last night, but I believe it's going to be his first media hit with Alex today on this show. That's coming up in the third hour. We also have Patrick Byrne, who has a new docuseries coming out about the deep state. He's going to be in studio in the second hour. So let me just check those boxes before we move on. So what is Trump doing today? U.S. pauses financial contributions to the World Trade Organization. Nice globalist group that Trump is trying to sever ties with. Trump cuts off U.S. funding to WTO. And you're supposed to be upset that the World Trade Organization is weakened, that Trump is weakening the World Trade Organization. How will you sleep at night knowing the World Trade Organization is weaker today? You're going to lose sleep over that? Because, you know, the World Trade Organization has been so great for us. No, it's just another one of these rat holes that we pour money into, like NATO, and we get nothing for it. We're getting killed on trade. We get destroyed on trade. Our trade deficit is crazy. And so you notice how they frame all of this as a total lie. Oh my gosh. The World Trade Organization. Oh my gosh, tariffs. Oh no. None of these media outlets that will ask you to shed a tear for the World Trade Organization, none of these media outlets that will ask you to be nervous at Trump's new trade policies, none of them will ever and have ever said anything about the trade deficit. They've never said anything about how we get crushed on tariffs. No. No, they don't talk about that. Now that Trump's trying to level the playing field, they say it's a trade war. No, it's been a trade war against us. We've been losing the trade war. Now Trump is saying, hey, we're going to actually fight in the war and we're going to have a trade war back, I guess. We're going to have policies that benefit the United States of America. And we're not going to pour money into the World Trade Organization anymore that does nothing for us. And now the American media has a problem. But when you're at a trade deficit and you're getting crushed on tariffs, they don't say a word. Not a word. And that's the big steal. That's the big steal. Oh, Doge is the bad guy. Not the fact that trillions of dollars have been stolen from the American people. That's not the story. No, 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 no. The biggest money laundering operation of all time being exposed by Elon Musk and Doge. That's not the story. The story is the poor gay shrimp that runs on a treadmill in a pool of gin. And we're not going to fund that anymore. The story is the poor transgender playwright in Peru that won't get U.S. government funding for their theater groups. You think I'm joking about all this? This is all really happening. Oh, that's the story. Not the kickbacks, not the politicians that make millions and millions of dollars on their government salary somehow. What, do they have a magic wand? They just touch their paycheck with the magic wand and all of a sudden it's worth millions? No, it's all corruption. It's all theft. But see, it's the same thing. They don't cover the theft. They tell you Elon Musk is the bad guy. They don't cover the trade war. They tell you Donald Trump is the bad guy. And you don't want to be the tail wagging the dog where it's like, well, anything the media tells me, I'm going to go the opposite way. But it's pretty clear here it's pretty clear that they don't like what Trump is doing as president. The same media that's been lying to you your whole life. They don't like what Musk is doing as an advisor with Doge. The same media that's been lying to you your entire life. They don't say a word about all the theft of the trillions of dollars. But then when it's being stopped and exposed, now they speak up. And then they cause the terrorists to go after Tesla dealerships, to go after Tesla cars. Or God forbid, you're wearing a Trump hat on the New York City subway and some deranged goblin-looking freak decides they're going to assault you. Trump administration announces mass layoffs at Health and Human Services, so they're just shrinking, they're just draining all these bureaucracies. They probably want you to be upset about that, too. Oh, the government's getting smaller. What will I do? What will I do if the government isn't stealing my money anymore? What will I do if the president is trying to have tariffs and equal trade and get rid of the trade deficit? What will I do? What will I do without these gigantic bloated bureaucracies and their tens of thousands of employees that don't even show up to work? The Trump administration announced today 10,000 employees of the Health and Human Services Department would be dismissed. You may go home. Now, they also announced, if you recall, Trump offered a bunch of federal workers, I think he gave them a two-month option or a timetable of 2 months to basically buy them out of their jobs. Well, now the majority are actually taking the buyout. So tens of thousands of federal workers are going home. Well, they were probably at home, never working anyway, but they're not getting paid anymore. It's always been a mystery to me. It's very unhuman, this idea of big government, this idea of big brother, big daddy government deciding how you live your life. A bureaucrat in a faraway land, a bureaucrat in his high tower in Washington, D.C., in a government building in Virginia, deciding how your money should be spent. Deciding how you should run your business. I don't get that. Then there's TSA. Here's another one. Oh, do you like getting groped at the airport? Do you like stripping naked? Oh, I love it. I can't wait. My favorite part of flying is showing up at the airport and getting naked so a guy can pat me down and running through an X-ray machine so they can look at me naked. It's so much fun. Republicans look to abolish TSA in favor of private security at airports. I don't know if they've ever stopped a terrorist or a violent criminal, but they have been caught stealing money and they have been caught stealing from people's luggage. And here they are on camera. It's just ridiculous. Feeling up a woman. Here they are feeling another man's junk. It's very, very rewarding job at TSA. Here's more reason to shut them down. TSA is still utilizing their Quiet Skies Terror Watch List program. And they've recently been targeting conservative Trump supporters that were pardoned by Trump. Remember, this is the list they put Tulsi Gabbard on. Senator Rand Paul and Congressman Mark Green are demanding that the TSA provide them with several records requests. Now, other independent journalists like Brianna Morello have also filed FOIA requests for this information, and they've never even responded, which I'm pretty sure that is illegal. And so lawsuits have been filed against the TSA. But you can see the letter from Paul and Green. So more reason to shut down the TSA. As if it wasn't enough that it's pretty much ineffective. Private security would be better anyway. And they've been caught stealing. Now they're using the TSA, another wing of the government, that they're using and abusing the left against their political opposition. So, just shut it down. You know, just shut it all down. Don't you want your country back? Don't you want your life back? Just shut it all down. Now, We got a huge race. This is going to be a very important thing. I'll probably cover this at the bottom of the hour in Wisconsin. And then we'll get into some of the latest votes happening in Congress as well with Representative Tim Burchett. And then we'll talk about the Democrat terrorism, which the whole Luigi Mangione story actually is kind of the perfect starter to understand where the left is at psychologically right now. But let me kind of close out here with the latest developments in the Mike Waltz Signalgate controversy, which has now been turned into a Get Pete Hegseth propaganda campaign. First, let's go to the Capitol. The audio here is a little rough. Whoever was recording this, they must be on like an iPhone 1. But here's Senator Blumenthal. You know, the guy that lied about serving in Vietnam. Yeah, that Senator Blumenthal, the known stolen valor hack Democrat who wears a foreign flag on his lapel pin, by the way. Just, you know, because. Here he is talking about how Hegseth and Waltz are criminals. Oh, they're criminals. Let's go to stolen valor, bum, hack, foreign flag on his lapel, Senator Blumenthal.
I'm looking forward to a prompt investigation, but an IG investigation is far from enough. There was a crime wheel, and likely an intentional crime. There should be accountability. There should be a criminal investigation by the FBI. It's national security. And it should be done as quickly as possible. There has to be accountability. And in the meantime, I think there's no question that the Secretary of Defense must resign. He should be fired. And very likely the National Security Advisor as well. The likelihood of criminal conduct here, if it occurred by a staff sergeant somewhere, would put him in grip and he'd be court-martialed. There's no reason that the higher-ups here could be given greater leniency just because they're in a position of power.
All right.
Witcher has called for an expedited IG's report.
So, pretty much everything he says there is total bullcrap. Now, but notice who gets left out of the conversation every time. The only person that published the so-called classified information, the only person that actually published it, Jeffrey Goldberg. He's the only one. Waltz did not publish it. Hegseth didn't publish it. Goldberg published it. So if anybody's the criminal sharing classified information, which it wasn't classified anyway, it's Goldberg. He's the crook. He's the one that needs to be investigated. He's the one that should be asked, how did you get into the Signal Group? Now, it's pretty obvious how he got in. Waltz, or whoever did it for Waltz, put him there. Now, yesterday, we got into Wong, who's just an assistant running around with ties to the CCP and other issues. And when Waltz went on Fox News looking extremely uncomfortable, he kind of put the blame on his assistant, but said, I take responsibility. You know, but it sounds like he's saying, well, I asked somebody else to do it. So I think it's fair to say, I don't think you're reaching here. The conclusion would be either Waltz himself did it, which is how it should be. Waltz should, if anybody's going to start a group and say, okay, this is where we're going to coordinate and communicate on the attacks on the Houthis, then it should be Waltz doing it. It shouldn't be an assistant. Or maybe it's somebody else that has access to his phone. Maybe somebody else with access to his phone pulled a trick on him. But he's not really getting into those details, and we could understand why, but that's why there's this giant mystery. Now, Waltz is not helping himself when he says, I don't know Goldberg. I've never heard of Goldberg. Who's Goldberg? Well, he has associated with Goldberg in the past. Mike Waltz says he's never met Jeffrey Goldberg, but here he is in a photo with him. Now, does that mean he doesn't? Does that mean he knows who he is for sure? No. I've taken a bunch of pictures with people. That doesn't mean I know them. But this was an exclusive event where you usually don't show up unless you know the featured parties. In this case, it was Jeffrey Goldberg. But maybe he doesn't. Maybe he does. It's not looking good. Here's the problem. Whether Waltz is a victim here of somebody setting him up, or he's the one that made the mistake or intentionally added Goldberg to this group chat, Waltz has all kinds of ties that are not good. And I was tagged in like dozens of these posts. The Ford Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Soros Open Society, Google. The list goes on. And then he's also married into a family that has connections to the Clinton State Department, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the World Economic Forum. So, I mean, this guy's got deep state globalists, marketing, and tattoos all over him. Now, there's also another weird development, which could be a nothing burger, could be significant, where apparently his social media accounts are following some, let's say gay tendency social media accounts. Let's say that some of his social media has been found following some gay stuff, some man-on-man action stuff. Again, could somebody have done that from his phone to set him up? Did he do it himself? Could it have something to do with maybe blackmail? I don't know. These are the questions that are being asked. The details remain the same. Hegseth shared the timestamps and the chronological order of events of the attacks that were going to happen on the Houthis. Now, nothing was disrupted in this process. No American lives, soldiers, or operations were put at risk. And the only person that shared this information, the only person that published this information is Jeffrey Goldberg. But you see, again, he's the Democrat hero. But when it's Lloyd Austin going missing for days, nobody says anything. No. When it's Democrat leakers, like Reality Winner, they have all these different Democrat leakers. They go in and they leak Supreme Court stuff. Oh, we never found the Supreme Court leaker. They go in and leak military things. But see, when it's a Democrat and it's a leaker, it's always a hero. So Goldberg is the hero. He's the one that leaked the sensitive classified information. He's the hero, even though by their own logic, he would be the one that committed the crime. Where did Hegseth publish the war plans? Nowhere. Where did Waltz publish the war plans? Nowhere. Where did Goldberg publish the war plans? The Atlantic. Which, of course, is its own globalist fake news operation. So here's when you boil it all down, the question. Is Trump's cabinet penetrated by globalist interests? Is Trump's cabinet penetrated by Democrat actors? Was Waltz set up and is a victim, or was he guilty?
Quite frankly, I didn't develop Optimal Human when Bigley came on as a big sponsor. And I told them the supplements I wanted from the companies I wanted. They went out and did what I wanted. People love them, and they're incredible. The turmeric, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it. But they'd had this out for years, and I thought, my green caps are great. And, you know, this other company I use is great because, you know, green superfoods are amazing. And then I finally took it, and Harrison Smith took it, and I was like, my God. And by then, we've been selling it 4 or 5 months, and it was already a top seller. The problem is there's so many ingredients, and it's so hard to source, and it's so clean, high standards, that it's sold out most of the time. We finally got a decent shipment of it in, but we never offered it for subscription because we just couldn't keep it. When you subscribe at thealexshowstore.com, and then they keep it back for you so it never sells out. So go to thealexshowstore.com and get your Optimal Human and so many other incredible products today. Check out all the great Patriot apparel. Make your life more healthy and enriched, and help keep us on the air as we take on the deep state at point blank range and win.
The eugenicists over 100 years ago were very public about their plans. They financed major universities. They ran full-page stories and advertisements pushing their propaganda in the New York Times, other major newspapers, that the family as we know it is a bad thing and must be ended. And the first step in that is getting women out of the household and teaching women that cooking dinner and taking care of your sons and daughters and husbands is a bad thing. And I was just sitting here tonight making dinner for my daughter, my 4.5-year-old daughter. My wife makes dinner a lot of times, but I like to make it as well. I love to make breakfast. And literally, it's the funnest thing on earth to make food for your family and be nutritive and then all sit down together and have the communal event. And that's what the system is attacking and bombarding, is our normal biological actions and coming together. They really are sick, evil, scientific cult of filth that want to domesticate us and turn us into lab rats. We cannot let this continue.
Now, the one thing I want you to do, if I could ask you to do anything for America and Alex and this network and this crew, the one thing I would ask you to do, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club. It's $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy a $35 shirt, you might as well sign up for the VIP Club so that you can get that extra $10 and just get the shirt that you want. That is going to ensure that we can fund this operation, fund the next operation, ensure that Alex always has a voice. They can try to steal his identity. They can try to steal his business. They can try to steal America. They can try to sacrifice humanity in nuclear genocide. But if you go to thealexjonesstore.com and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club, they'll never take away our voice. They'll never take away our freedom. They'll never take away free speech, and we can save America together. Please go now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at the AlexJonesStore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a New World Order government. And so, as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the New World Order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
InfoWars.com/show.
The American way of life is under attack. This is the War Room.
Kind of what it's like, isn't it? Black shadow hanging over your shoulder. Now, there are voting sessions happening in Congress, and I tend to agree with Tim Burchett here. Maybe not on everything, but definitely the direction that things are going. And isn't it just so typical of a politician to say one thing and then do the opposite? So typical, but Tim Burchett seems a little fed up with it. And he's saying, hey, we're all celebrating DOGE uncovering the waste, fraud, and abuse. And then we go right back to Congress and we vote for more waste, fraud, and abuse. What's up with that? Let's hear from Tim Burchett. Clip four.
We haven't had so much.
Hey, everybody, Tim Burchett.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, brother.
Thank you. Several bills today. Not a whole lot moving the needle. I'm kind of disgusted, really. I mean, freaking Rashida Tlaib's got an amendment on here to, I don't know, is going after our friends, I'm sure. And we allow that those crazy amendments on there. They get three votes, and I can't even get a bill on the floor to defund the Taliban or stop selling genetic material to our enemies. Five bills. I guess the major one was, sure, they'll do a victory lap on this one. Walk-in coolers and freezers. It was basically the Biden administration had put some terrible rules and regulations, and it outlawed our basically American manufacturers, and it created an inlet for the foreign and our adversaries to do business. So I mean, it's a good piece of legislation, need to be passed, but we're not fulfilling President Trump's DOGE agenda. Remember this, Congress, Republicans, we got about a three-person lead, maybe, and I'm sure I'll catch hell for saying this, but our approval rating is right above those people that are scraping Teslas right now, and you know, we're running around the country hollering about all this stuff, and Trump won overwhelmingly because of the DOGE agenda, cutting this stuff out, and we're not cutting nothing out. So, yeah, I'm disgusted. Anyway, hopefully we'll do better next week. Thank y'all for sitting me here.
Well, Tim Burchett, always keeping it real. And let's respond to a couple of those things. He mentions, and there's all kinds of legislation similar. Some of it ends up being local, like in California, where they ban gas-powered lawnmowers. So you have to buy an electric one. You can't even finish mowing your front lawn, let alone your backyard, too, or your side yard. Or maybe you want to run a lawn care business, lawn mowing business. Forget that. Can't afford to get a starter mower. And then it'll take 3 hours to do a yard. So that's the kind of crap that they get passed. And then they say, well, it's not carbon neutral to be developing walk-in refrigerators and walk-in freezers in America. And then they vote and they ban it. So what happens? Well, they make them in China. Then you get China to make them. So this is what Trump is trying to reverse. But, you know, he mentioned something, and this is very important. The Republican majority in the House is razor thin. Razor thin. We mentioned this briefly earlier this week, but it's worthy of mentioning again. There is a Supreme Court special election in Wisconsin. The results of this election will determine whether the liberals or the conservatives control the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And it's not a conspiracy theory to say if the Democrat wins, they are going to gerrymander and they are going to redistrict Wisconsin to flip two House seats. Now, I don't want to be redundant for the regular audience here, how I break down how Democrats steal elections with gerrymandering. So let's try to make this quick, and then Hakeem Jeffries admits exactly what their plan is. But so the Democrats are all in this. It's a special Supreme Court election, folks. Hundreds of millions of dollars being spent. Think about that. That's how important this is. Hundreds of millions of dollars are being spent in a special Supreme Court of Wisconsin election. That's crazy. So why? Because control of the House could hang in the balance. And if the Democrats win this, they can flip the House, and then you know exactly what they're going to do, don't you? They're going to impeach President Trump, and then they'll probably just shut down the government, and they'll defund anything and everything they want. And they'll go full radical at the House, and any agendas that we have right now will be buried by the Democrat-controlled House. Which, by the way, and maybe I'll just give this initiative to the crew, but this is what I'm thinking. I almost want to go back to the countdown when we open the show and count down until the midterm elections. Because the truth is, that's what this really is. This is really a countdown until the midterm elections. You could do a countdown until the presidential elections again. But if the Democrats take the House, then there's going to be all kinds of blockades. They'll impeach Trump. It'll just be a giant ordeal. It'll be a total mess. So really, it's a countdown. You've got 2 years where you know you have the Senate, the House, and the White House to actually get things done. really, that's the timetable we're working with, is 2 years. So it's like we almost need to have that visual countdown just to remind ourselves. It's like, hey, we don't have forever to get things done. We got through 4 years of President Trump. We saw what happened. Let's not make the same mistake again. So they're pouring in hundreds of millions of dollars so they can flip the Wisconsin Supreme Court, redistrict so they can flip 2 seats in the House via Wisconsin, and then take control of the House. This is the Democrat plan. And they don't even hide it. They don't even hide it. Listen to Hakeem Jeffries. Now, of course, he does the reverse reality here, but I'll give you the details of what he's talking about. But here's Hakeem Jeffries explaining exactly why the Democrats are all in, Barack Obama pushing it, fundraising, everything. Here's why the Democrats are all in with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
In Wisconsin, that's a 50-50 race.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know Wisconsin's a 50-50 state.
Yeah.
And we have a strong Democratic candidate. Whoever wins is going to determine who has the majority in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Why is that important? Because there are gerrymandered congressional lines right now in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a 50-50 state, as I mentioned, but there are 6 Republicans and only 2 Democrats out of an 8-person delegation because the lines are broken.
Right.
And as soon as possible, we need to be able to revisit that and have fair lines. The only way for that to be even a significant possibility is if you have an enlightened Supreme Court. And so, you know, I think that's an incredibly important race.
The admissions from Hakeem Jeffries there are incredible. He just told you the whole game plan. Now, of course, what is he saying? He's basically saying if Democrats aren't in control, then nothing is good. Now, it's the exact opposite. You used to have, I mean, you could actually go back probably like 50 years or so now, but you would actually have Republicans winning in major metropolitan areas when you actually had some sanity in the Democrat Party and there wasn't just outright cheating in elections. Republicans would win sometimes, Democrats would win sometimes. Republican mayors, Democrat mayors, Republican governors, whatever. And the cities weren't total shitholes. You could actually go downtown and not worried about being mugged or your car getting jacked. Not see homelessness and poverty everywhere. Like, there was a time where metropolitan life, city life in America was not so bad. And then the Democrats got in control and it all went to hell. That is neutrally observable fact. Now, some of that blame falls on Congress with policy that removed factories and manufacturing and production out of the cities and killing Main Street. But that doesn't change the reality. As soon as the Democrats got their permanent control of the cities went to hell. 100% neutrally observable fact. But there's Hakeem Jeffries saying, well, we have to have Democrat control. It's enlightened, he says. Yes, very enlightened. Like your city's going to be lit on fire and burned down. Very nice. Very enlightening. But they always use the same excuse. And this is how they have gerrymandered all over the country. If we had the originalist political science in this country, the Democrats would never have a majority in the Senate. Because what does he say? He says, well, we have these districts in Wisconsin, and even though Wisconsin is a 50-50 state, I think in Wisconsin, Trump won the presidential vote, but then a Democrat won the Senate vote. So that means some Democrats voted for Trump, if you believe that, if they didn't just steal the Senate seat. But either way, so yeah, you could say Wisconsin is a swing state. 50-50, it's been pretty close in the recent elections. Okay. So that's fair, but he says, but that's not represented at the state level because 6 of the 8 districts are red. Yeah. Yeah, that's how the Constitution was written. Now, Hakeem Jeffries, honestly, the modern day Democrat might be too stupid. They might not be politically informed enough to even understand what this is all about. Yeah, why should one city or one county in Wisconsin control the fate of the whole state? It's the same reason why we have a popular vote or we don't have a popular vote, rather, for the presidential election. Because we don't want New York City, Los Angeles, and Chicago determining every election and determining the fate of the country. It's actually genius. The founding fathers were genius. It was brilliant. So they do the same thing with the national election, and they do the same thing at the state level. So yeah, you're right. The majority of Wisconsin is actually red, but there's a population density in Milwaukee that is blue. So should Milwaukee determine the fate of the state? Should New York City determine the fate of the country? No, of course not. But that's what he's arguing. That's his political theory, is that, hey, we've got this population density in Milwaukee. They should control the state. So what are they going to do? They're going to redistrict, just like they do every time, of course, because they're standing up for equity and equality, and they're fighting racism, and they're so much holier than thou, and they're enlightened. Don't you see? Folks, this is what they have done. So if we, okay, so now we're getting back to the political science. It used to be the states determined who the senator would be. So it's, and it was for the exact reason that we just discussed. It was for the exact reason. So that a big city like Milwaukee would not determine who your senator is, and the larger state, broken up into districts, could determine who the senator was. Well, now it's completely opposite that. Now you're in New York. New York City determines who your senator is. Now you're in Wisconsin. Milwaukee determines who your senator is. Now you're in Illinois. Chicago determines who your senator is. And every other county, every other city, every other district, they have no say in who your senator is. It always ends up in the population-dense blue cities. That was not how our country was originally founded. And it used to be you got selected like a state electoral college who would be sent to the Senate. Now, if you had that originalist interpretation and practice today, the Democrats would never control the Senate, not one time, not a single time. So you see why the Democrats changed the law? And so now it's the same thing happening. They're pissed they can't control the fate of the state of Wisconsin with Milwaukee. So they're going to redistrict the entire state so that they can take two seats away from conservatives in red areas. And they've done this all over the country. And if you go look at these maps, you see it for yourself. They will redraw the districts and they will siphon votes out of blue areas where Democrats get 70%. They only need 51 to win. And they'll crunch all the numbers to redistrict it and they'll draw the lines. It'll look like a ridiculous puzzle piece or a squiggly line. But it doesn't matter. They've crunched the numbers. They know where the votes are. This is why they spend tens of millions of dollars on voter data. And they'll redistrict it and they'll siphon 8% of the Democrat votes out of this city over here into the red city. And then they'll steal that seat with gerrymandering. And then they'll siphon another 8% over here into this other red county to flip it. And then they'll steal that seat. But they'll maintain their majority vote in the blue city because they win by 70. Now they'll only win by 55. So they get 70%. Now it's 55, but they still win. And now they flip the two other seats. I mean, even Vox admits that the Democrats are the gerrymanderers. They invented gerrymandering. Think about it like this. Politically speaking, what does the left need? What does the left need for policy approach? They need power. They can't stop you from manufacturing a walk-in freezer or refrigerator without power. They can't stop you from purchasing a gas-powered lawnmower or car without power. So they need power. Their entire political agenda relies on power. So they'll do anything for that power. That's why they lie, cheat, and steal. Because without political power, the Democrats have nothing. There's no real policy. It's just power. How can they take your guns? Power. So this is why they lie, cheat, and steal. This is why they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a special Supreme Court election in Wisconsin so they can flip the House and get power. See, you don't need power to support freedom and the Bill of Rights. That's given to you by God, the Creator. That doesn't take power. It doesn't take power to promote freedom. That's taking away power. No, if you want to take somebody's freedom, you need power to do it. That's what the left relies on. That's what the Democrats rely on. So that's how important this House seat is. And really, the GOP is asleep at the switch, folks. It's not good. They're asleep at the switch. They just lost a special election in Pennsylvania last week. Just totally fumbled it. Just didn't even show up to play. And now you're looking at a situation in Wisconsin where they might do the exact same thing. And you watch, and they'll redistrict it, and they'll flip two House seats, and they'll impeach President Trump if they don't get to action in Wisconsin and stop the Democrats from taking the Supreme Court, folks. That's exactly what's going to happen. And they're all over it, and they're not even hiding it. They brag about it. It's not a secret. It's not a conspiracy theory. You just heard it from Hakeem Jeffries. The Democrats are on the ground, folks. The Democrats are spending hundreds of millions of dollars. Barack Obama is campaigning. Don't you see? This is their big plan. They know with that one election, they can change everything. They can change the entire course of politics in this country with one election. Now, again, our country was not designed to be that way. The originalist interpretation of our political science, our Constitution, was not intended to be this way, but they changed the laws. And so now they can steal. So it's not just, you talk about stealing elections, it's not just what happens while you vote. It's not just fraudulent votes and mail-in ballots and voting machines and all the stuff that you might think about, illegal votes. No, it's gerrymandering. It's rewriting laws. The Democrats cheat in more ways than just voting, folks. But I wonder, you don't think they're going to cheat in Wisconsin? Yeah. That's going to be next Tuesday. And it doesn't look good. But, you know, maybe it needs to happen. Maybe it needs to happen. Because what are the Democrats really going to block at the end of the day anyway? And whatever the Trump administration wants to be serious about, they can do in 2 years. And whatever they're not going to be serious about, they're not going to do in 4 years anyway. So it doesn't really matter. So maybe it needs to happen. Maybe we need to have this focus. And we need to watch the Democrats spend hundreds of millions of dollars, take the Supreme Court, redistrict, and steal two House seats. Maybe the American public just have to see it for themselves. Because that's how it goes, folks. That's how it goes. And it's probably exactly what's going to happen. It's probably exactly what's going to happen. And then they'll flip the House. They'll impeach Trump again. We'll go through all of it. And we'll all just watch it. And we'll say, okay, where else have the Democrats engaged in similar tactics? Oh, all over the country. Wow. Maybe it needs to happen. I don't want to go through it. But we'll see. We'll see if the GOP is able to stop this from happening. But that's exactly what's going to happen. And maybe the GOP wants it to happen. Maybe they want Trump to get impeached again. You know? But I mean, who knows if Trump even knows this is going on. Musk is all over it. Musk is talking about it. But it's like, I get Trump out here endorsing Lindsey Graham. Whatever. Trump goes out and endorses Lindsey Graham yesterday. And nobody is trying to get into his ear and say, hey, we got a big election in Wisconsin. And if the Republicans lose this, they're going to steal the House and then they're going to impeach you in 2 years. Is anybody alerting Trump about this? I mean, somebody obviously went to Trump and said, oh, Lindsey Graham, he's so great. You need to endorse him. Yeah, Lindsey Graham, huh? Yeah. Yeah, Lindsey Graham is really popular. He just got booed at the Trump rally. Yeah, Lindsey Graham is really popular. Don't read the replies to your endorsement, President. Don't go and look at what the people are saying about Lindsey Graham. No. Let's get rid of Massey, though. But I come out. When is Lindsey Graham up for re-election? I've got an election on Tuesday that could determine the fate of the House in 2 years, but I'm endorsing Lindsey Graham. I'm not addressing the situation right in front of me. Okay. Well, let's see how that works out for everybody. Let's just see. Hey, maybe Lindsey Graham can get involved. Maybe Lindsey Graham will raise some money. All right. Now, we have a guest coming up in studio in 10 minutes, Patrick Byrne. He's got a new docuseries out about the deep state. I'm very excited to talk to him about that and just get into general politics with him. I mean, he knows about stolen elections, too. He's done a lot of research on that. Very, very smart with cyber and tech, Patrick Byrne. Folks, remember, we are free to air. If you're watching this, free to air, and we appreciate that. That's how it needs to be. The information we cover here is very important, so we want everybody to be able to see it and hear it without having to pay. But we are independent, and your support at thealexjonesstore.com is how we stay on air and fund the great crew behind me and everything else with the infrastructure. Now, right now, there is a super sale happening, 15% off T-shirts, 40% off supplements. You can get an even bigger discount on the supplements when you sign up for AutoShip. You can get up to 50% with AutoShip, which I'm a big fan of now. I used to be, oh, I'll wait till I'm out and then order it, but then it becomes a hassle and then you don't have it for a couple days. It could be sold out. So you can solve all those problems by just signing up for AutoShip, and then you get an increased discount on the supplements as well. And the limited edition Alex Jones InfoWars coin as well. The silver coin is there. If you are a longtime fan, listener of Alex Jones, this is a collectible item you're going to love. The InfoWars box logo on one side, 2025 with the stars behind it, and then the portrait of Alex Jones with the signature and the American flag behind him on the other side. This is limited edition. It is at an introductory rate of 20% off. When it sells out, it will be gone, and it will sell out. So take advantage of that sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com. There's an even bigger discount for you if you become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great T-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
Here's where all eyes now are on gold and silver. Because gold went over $3,000 an ounce, it's at an all-time high. That's a very strong technical and psychological threshold number, that 3,000. So now that the world is looking at gold, the world is also going to be looking at silver. So even the massive growth that we've already seen, I'm guessing it's just the beginning.
Gut level, where do you think gold is in a month?
3,100 in a month, like in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And then I think it gets to 3,200 by the beginning of the summer. And we could literally see 4,000 as momentum starts to gather and as the eyes of the world get on it. And then silver, you know, probably 50 to 75.
People need to call you, do a free consultation, leave your name and number, 720-605-3900, kpm.com/gold. Do the form. They'll call you back. They'll do a free consultation. They can roll over your IRAs, 401ks. Do it now, folks. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much.
My pleasure. See ya.
It's good to be right, isn't it? Wow.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
some of these Doge savings before Patrick Byrne joins us. And we didn't get into it much yesterday. We did cover the NPR hearing, which is just, the whole thing is so embarrassing. Catherine Maher, this woman is such a disingenuous phony, where they had quotes, her actual quotes, and they'd say, hey, do you support this? And she'd say, no, I don't support that. And then they'd say, here's your quote supporting it right here. Here's literally you saying you support it. Oh, I don't know about that. That's taken out of context. Just a total phony. It's ridiculous. Oh man, how they can live with themselves, I don't know. I don't know. How does a liberal like that, how does a total phony liar like that live with themselves? You know? I'll never understand it. She kind of looks like Cruella DeVille. Fake blonde hair. She's got that look, you know? And then, you know, she's in charge of hiring the board. 87 Democrats, registered Democrats, 0 Republicans. She says, oh, I don't know of any bias. Certainly don't know of any bias. Do you support reparations? No, I've never supported reparations. Really, here's your quote saying you support reparations. Oh, that's taken out of context. So anyway, why do I say that? Well, because it's time to just defund is what it is. It's time to just defund NPR, defund PBS, just defund them. And if they do good work and good business, then they can fund themselves. Go fund yourself. Go fund yourself. Hey, CNN somehow gets funding. MSNBC somehow gets funding. They're as radical left as you are, so you might as well just go with their business plan. Good luck. All right, here's some of the Doge savings. We got updates here. Well, President Trump asked the question, whatever happened to the $8 million given by our government to radical left Politico magazine, or whatever you would call it, owned by wealthy guys? This money should be taken back by Doge ASAP. Also, Stacey Abrams going to give back the $2 billion they funneled to her environmental fund just prior to my assuming office. She went from $100 in donations to $2 billion in just one day. Lee Zeldin has responded now. I have terminated the $2 billion Biden EPA grant to the Stacey Abrams-linked NGO. The DOJ, FBI are investigating, and the money has been frozen. It is insane that the Biden administration would give $2 billion to an organization that previously only received $100. Let me put on my conspiracy hat real quick, if you don't mind. Why would they be giving $2 billion to some Stacey Abrams front group, fraud group? Now, remember, Stacey ran a race and lost and then denied that she lost. So when you understand how crooked Democrats are, you always have to remember that, because this is how you figure out how they operate. I think Stacey Abrams had some big dirt. Whatever wound her up in Democrat politics and then the whole Georgia race where she claimed it was stolen from her, my guess is she was involved in massive corruption, and there's huge corruption in Georgia. Massive corruption from both parties, and specifically in Atlanta. It's really bad. So I think Stacey Abrams, whatever got her involved and then claiming she had the election stolen, she was involved. She knew about something. They promised her that she would win the governor's race, and then the voter fraud didn't work. She was so unpopular that she couldn't even win, even with the cheating. But that's why she never said she lost, because she was promised that she would win. So I think she had some big dirt. And she said, look, I'm going to spill the beans. I'm going to go public. I'm going to expose this entire fraud operation we're running in Georgia if you don't give me some money. So they said, okay, all right, start an environmental group and we'll pay you off. We'll buy your silence. And maybe that's how she ends up with $2 billion. Or maybe they just asked her, hey, can you be a rat hole for us? Can you be a front shell company for us? We're going to funnel you $2 billion. Just hold on to it for a minute. And when Trump gets out of office, we'll revisit what to do with that money. Maybe that's what happened. I've got more from Doge coming up. Who knows? Maybe Patrick Byrne wants to talk about this. I bet he has something to say about this. All the waste, fraud, and abuse. It's all fraud. They're stealing it all.
I
have been so hot and heavy on the news the last few weeks that I have not come up. Yesterday, I didn't plug one time the whole show because I was just so focused and pissed off about what's going on, because we're winning, but the fight is so dangerous. This is the most intense part right now. And so please go to thealexjonesstore.com. We have the Great Atomic Defense, the strongest, greatest, concentrated of all the known herbs and compounds to boost your immune system. Everybody should be on, especially this time of year, for the limited edition Trump 2024 Battle for the Republic coin. On one side, on the other side, the commemorative inauguration. There's a limited amount of those. About as of this morning, 1/4 of them are gone. There'll be no more made after that. This funds the operation. So I want to thank all of you that have supported. I'll encourage those that haven't gone to thealexjonesstore.com to take action now. The supplements are the best you're going to find anywhere. Become a VIP member for $30 a month. Cancel any time. Get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special sales, special discounts, special offers, and products only to members. Thealexjonesstore.com.
Antidote to the establishment's lies. Welcome to the War Room. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
So Patrick Byrne joins me in studio. He's telling me a story. I don't know if you've ever talked about this publicly. It does tie into Doge. I knew I could get you thinking with Doge, though. I mean, really, every American should be concerned. But I was not aware of your friendship with Milton Friedman.
Yeah, they're great. I genuflect when I hear his name, yes.
I mean, small government, effective economy genius, Milton Friedman.
He was maybe the greatest friend of liberty of the 20th century. He's an amazing man. And actually, I will tell you a funny story about him. A few weeks before he passed, he called me and he said, Patrick, my foundation is set up that when I pass, it either dissolves or changes its name. It's changed its name. I want to change my will and have you lead my foundation for 10 years and then change the name. And to me, that was like Isaac Newton had called and said,
take my research. Here, I'm Nikola Tesla. Take my research.
I'm a huge fan of Milton Friedman, and what Doge is finding, I think, is the tip of the iceberg. The left has turned Washington, D.C. into what they call there a self-licking ice cream cone. Just that doesn't have any purpose other than to lick itself. I mean, they've turned it into a trough for all of their NGOs to feed at.
Well, I don't know. Well, I do know why it's not the biggest story in America. But to me, it is the biggest story. I mean, we're talking about trillions of dollars of our tax dollars stolen. That's what's happened. It's been stolen. And when I think about Musk's situation, I'm thinking, okay, why is he hanging out at the White House? Because he's literally investigating the biggest money laundering criminal scheme probably in the history of the world. I mean, he's going after the political gangster class. Like, of course he has to stay at the White House. He can't.
Right.
Of course he has to be with President Trump in Secret Service.
Surprised he's not on a military base.
Yeah. Well, they'll treat the White House like that for now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, don't you – what goes through your head when you think about – they've already exposed hundreds of billions. It'll be over a trillion, and he knows it. But the money went somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it went somewhere.
Well, they have so corrupted so many of the institutions, it's quite possible that it's not even illegal. Although in some grand, historic sense, it's a huge crime. But they have so corrupted so many different bureaus that this stuff may have all been signed off on perfectly legally. But, of course, it's a big insider's game.
Yeah. Well, I get, that is a good point, whether they can do criminal referrals to the people getting the kickbacks and everything else. I guess that'll be kind of be the final test.
You know who really brought this? I mean, the Democrats have always been corrupt, but really who perfected this were the Clintons. They took over the Democratic Party in the 1990s. And in a Leninist way, while he was at the White House, every county in America has a Democratic Party office, as do the Republicans. And they made sure those were Clintonistas. And they took over the Democratic Party from the lowest level up. And by the time they left power and since then, they really own the Democratic Party. There's the Obama wing, but that represents something else entirely. And what the Clinton-Biden couplet are just stand for pure corruption. What Obama is about overthrowing the country and a Bolshevik revolution. Clinton and Biden just stand for corruption. That's their part of the Democratic Party.
Well, and as soon as Clinton was defeated in the 2016 election, all that Clinton Foundation money all of a sudden stopped pouring in. Just magically, the charitable organization was no longer getting money anymore.
I'm very close to the people in the whistleblower case against the Clinton Foundation, and that's shocking. that, I mean, if that information, I know that what they have, and what there's information there that from day one, that foundation was illegal. That foundation was illegal.
Wait, you're talking to whistleblowers in the Clinton crime syndicate?
Well, there's somebody.
Do you hang out at graveyards, or where are you? Where are you getting this info?
Well, I'm a friend of. There's actually a whistleblower lawsuit against the Clinton Foundation. You can find a little bit of mention it online. A guy named John Moynihan is behind it. He's a former DEA officer, and he investigated it. And there's they used FOIA requests and such. And they built a case, and I can't even tell you exactly why, but from day one, that foundation was not properly formed. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Not properly formed.
I'm not sure anything was properly done except tons of money pouring in and political favors being delivered.
You ever meet a Haitian? Ask a Haitian.
Oh, I have.
About Clinton. The steaming comes out of their ears if you just mentioned the
country. There was a group outside of, what was the university? Was it New York University or Hofstra, I think, in New York at the 2016 election cycle? It was the first presidential debate, and I was hanging out outside interviewing people, and there was a group of Haitians. I mean, you say the name Clinton, like you said, it's like steam. I mean, you're like, oh, my gosh, they're angry.
They took billions of dollars. They built one little clinic on the way in from the airport into town. So everyone who lands in the capital, Port-au-Prince, has to drive by it. And they see this Clinton medical clinic. And then they pocketed the other who knows how many billions. And they probably, who knows, maybe they did some child trafficking, some say.
Yeah, like Laura Silsby caught at the border with kids. And then she changed her name. Now she runs the Amber Alert system. Totally normal stuff, Patrick.
That's funny.
Totally. Nothing to be concerned about. Well, the reason you're here today is you've got a new docuseries coming out, The Enemy Within. Do you want to talk about that? What is in this docuseries?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you that General Flynn called me the day after the Durham cover-up report came out. And he called me at 7:01 in the morning, which he does when he's real angry. And he said, Patrick, the Republic hanging by a thread. It may be lost, but we have a chance. We got to get your story out there. So I sat and wrote a book. I may have come on and talked about it with you. It was called Danger Close. And then he took that book last year, and he spent the year basically overseeing its production into a movie. It's a three-part, 45-minute episode, but it's a true story. The dialogue, everything is true. And see, I was in the middle of, I know this sounds crazy, but that's why it's different that I was in the middle of it all. I worked for Brennan. I worked for Comey. I worked for Obama. That's why I know. That's why I was dating the redheaded Russian spy. And that's why I was in the middle of the Clinton investigation. And it's all portrayed in this movie very accurately, including many of the conversations are word for word accurate. And I was in the middle of really a coup that started around Thanksgiving 2015.
So how does that go exactly? And I mean, without revealing, I suppose, too much sensitive information, but how does that go exactly? They recruit somebody that's very internationally known, has success, expertise in a certain field, bring you in, and then give you an agenda, or how does that go down?
Well, I explain it in the movie.
Okay.
I explain it in the movie, and it's been a lifetime, and it was sort of the secret of my lifetime that I thought would never come out, but it seemed like our nation was hanging by a thread, so I came out with this. I'm not a spy. I never worked for the intelligence community, but I had other kinds of projects, and it's explained in the movie. And so, but from time to time, I got asked to help them on something domestically, and I got asked to help set up Hillary Clinton for a bribe on Thanksgiving 2015. And 7 weeks later, I successfully set up, I think I've told that story maybe on Alex's show about Azerbaijan. I got the bag man. Anyway, it's all depicted in the movie, and we successfully bribed her. And then I was told I had to forget it, and it was going to be used to blackmail her. She was going to become president, and it would be used by Obama and Obama and Brennan as leverage. And they would basically run her for 8 years, and she stepped down. Michelle's going to run. So anyway, it's all depicted in the movie and lots of other scenes that are actual true-to-life scenes.
Well, and obviously, your story is not an isolated phenomenon. I'm sure there have been many before you and after you where they tried to do the same thing to get control of politicians. And a lot of us think about with the Epstein files and Epstein Island and these blackmail operations, you know, sex operatives, you go to a party and they kind of introduce a young woman to you. Oh, yeah, she looks like an older woman. You find out later she might be 16 and you're on tape and it's okay, now we got you. That's really just one level of it. Not everybody can be corrupted with sex stuff. It's just true. So they go after you with financial stuff. I think there's a lot of the financial stuff that kind of doesn't get mentioned because it's not as sordid as the stuff with kids and the sex stuff. But I would imagine a lot of that goes down. A lot of blackmailing with just financial stuff.
Well, blackmail. The Clintons really brought blackmail in as to the common currency of D.C. It's quite. You don't get anywhere, I think, on the district court unless you're already blackmailable. The money. What they also. I had somebody tell me that Patrick, there are billionaires walking around this planet that we made, and we're prepared to do the same for you if you just will stay calm and stay quiet.
And this is how it's become so corrupt. And now you look at what Trump is trying to do with all of these judges getting in his way. I can't help it. I mean, I see these judges saying, oh, you can't deport. Oh, you can't run DOGE. You can't do this. And I'm just like, okay, you're blackmailed. You're corrupted.
Yeah, it's a bullshit. Well, there's that, but there's ideology too. They are Bolsheviks. We are looking at a Bolshevik revolution. If you want to look at the model, look at Lenin or look at Mao, because Mao brings this great cultural, you know, we're going to attack at every level at once. And it's been so well scripted. What's funny is you probably got a hold of at some point or another some of these documents of the protest groups, like the Sunrise Group. Did you ever look at any of these documents? I'll send them some to you. Anyway, it's like a color revolution planned by McKinsey. It is the most impressive, well-organized, which is kind of funny because 20 years ago I had opportunity to work with the left on a couple things. And these were folks who didn't know how to send a Federal Express. I mean, they were like gray-haired college professors. Ponytail college professors, but suddenly they're operating like McKinsey. That just tells me there's some hidden hand within them, and could well be McKinsey. It could be the Soros. Well, we know that it's the Soros group.
Well, nowadays, it'll be Alex Soros. I don't know if George Soros has the wherewithal to really run anything. And I mean, I'm sure you saw. Did you see Alex is now married to Huma Abedin, the former Clinton?
Right.
Whatever she was.
Spawn of
whatever she was doing with the Clintons, probably more than one thing.
Remember that email that got public about she emailed back to some people in Pakistan about her real feelings about Hillary, and it did suggest that she had had several roles for Hillary, but about how disgusting it was, but I'm doing it all for the Ummah, I'm doing it all for jihad, or something. It was a very clear email.
Yeah. I mean, those Clinton emails that came out in the 2016 election cycle were extremely damning. I mean, a lot of stuff extremely damning. And then, you know, it's just... It's kind of like anything else in politics. You get the big story, you get the big lead, then you get the concrete evidence, and then you get nothing.
I was just talking to someone about the Seth Rich, speaking of the Clinton emails, the Seth Rich stuff. Did you ever dig into that?
Oh, sure. And they're now, of course, denying the release of those files.
Well, you know, the thing that to me was most narrative breaking was what was undisputed was that when the files were downloaded, they were downloaded at speeds of up to 36 megabits per second, which is consistent with the thumb drive. If it were Russians coming in through 4 or 5 VPN skips, they would maybe be able to manage a one megabyte of download speed per second. But this was more consistent with the thumb drive, which is consistent with the whole Seth Rich story. But there's a anyway, there's lots of rumors about how he died. I think I've got a pretty good idea. You ever hear the DEA? Yeah, MS-13. Ever see that folder?
There's something. I'm not sure, but I think it's pretty safe to assume that at some level of the political operations, they were bringing in these gang members to do their dirty work.
Yeah, and that's what happened. And it was, so first of all, he was a Bernie brother, and I think what he probably discovered, he was working overseeing primaries for the Democratic Party. And I think what he discovered was the California primary was rigged for Hillary Clinton. And I think that's what he was really mad about. If that would explain why he turned the files over to...
Well, the real Bernie believers, the true ideologues, the true believers, that, you know, intellectually honest ones, will all admit that they stole that primary from Bernie. And they did. I mean, they did steal it from Bernie. They stole it from him twice, actually. I think he's kind of on his revenge tour now with AOC. I think Bernie is kind of on his revenge tour, like, okay, the Democrat establishment crushed me twice, so I'm going to bring in the radical left and crush you now, is kind of what I see going on. But, yeah, Seth Rich, maybe with a bone to pick, delivers the email saying, hey, look at how corrupt Hillary is.
Yes, and that this Bernie was beaten because of corruption, because of rigged elections. That could be that, and he bragged to his friends. He bragged to his friends about that he had a thumb drive on a chain around his neck, and he frequently sort of brandished it. And the story that got out a couple of years ago, I don't want to get you in trouble or sued again. You want me to tell you? Okay. That Rod Rosenstein, and this goes back one step further. We should return to Rod Rosenstein had some dirty DEA agents he worked with who called in some members of the MS-13 gang who actually are like ambassadors back and forth to the DEA because they might need to talk on occasion. And these DEA guys gave them an assignment to go find Seth Rich and steal this. They weren't supposed to kill him. And it was an early morning thing, wee hours of the morning thing. And, of course, his watch, his
cell phone. His wallet, none of that got stolen.
But there was the thing around his neck. The thumb drive around his neck was not there. And there were plenty of friends who vouched for that he always had this thing, and he kind of flashed it around.
Interesting.
So, and there was
of course, then Rosenstein became one of the anti-Trump agents.
You really want to know, here's something you should really, I bet some of your viewers, this would be a great Alex Jones kind of thing to research. You ever hear of Frankfurt Station or Baltimore Station?
In D.C.?
Well, no, the expression of Frankfurt Station in Germany. This is where really it all begins. There was a group put together over there, a cross-agency group, who worked against Russian hackers. And that's where we actually discovered these networks, Fuzzy Bear and Cozy Bear, where the U.S. discovered them. That was relocated to Baltimore. Oh, gosh, you got to dig in on this. I don't know.
You're doing a deep dive now.
No, but this, you'll dig this. It was moved to Baltimore, and Baltimore Station, overseen by, it was really set up. They were given all the powers of all the surveillance of the American national security state to dig up blackmail on prominent judges, editors, businessmen, everything. And it was an Obama project. But the people who were in it, you can't believe, it's like a who's who of who we're up against. This guy's like Pietko. The guy who set up Flynn in that interview in the White House, he was over in the Frankfurt Station. The guys who founded CrowdStrike, the CrowdStrike group, they were all in that group.
So like some unofficial intelligence group?
It was official. The agency sometimes names its groups like Station, Frankfurt Station would be, but it was a joint FBI and other agency operation against Russian organized crime. And that's the beginning of CrowdStrike. Everything traces back to Frankfurt Station and then Baltimore Station, which was a pure blackmail operation run by Obama. I'm surprised that you guys, this would be leading edge for you to dig into if you haven't.
Well, the problem is we'd be covering all of that stuff in 2016, 2017, and it's just like, you know, I could come up here like a parrot every day, but, you know, I'm not a fan of redundancy. If I thought it would make a difference, then I would do it. But it's just like, if I see no agenda or I don't see any momentum or interest from, let's just say, for the sake of this conversation, the Trump administration, then I just give it up.
That's a good point.
You know, it's like,
well, they should look into this because that Baltimore Station was overseen by the assistant U.S. attorney in Baltimore, who was Rod Rosenstein. And then he and Pietko and that whole group, all this group that you've been chasing for 10 years, that's where they all sort of got together. Then some of them formed CrowdStrike. Some of them went on and set up Flynn. Rod Rosenstein went and became number two in the DOJ. That's where, like, a lot of this Bolshevik revolution began, in Baltimore Station and Frankfurt Station.
I wonder if that ties into that. Well, this will get the Trump administration interested. I don't know if you saw this. It was breaking today. German outlet finds contact information for Pete Hegseth, Tulsi Gabbard, Mike Waltz, and other members of the Trump administration. And apparently this is coming out of Germany, if you believe the story. But I wouldn't be surprised, and they're saying they're tracing it with this app. I think that could be a red herring. I wouldn't be surprised if the same source where they got information on Trump supporters like myself to send a SWAT team to their house, if it's not the exact same source that's giving out this private information to these Trump cabinet members, which I'm not cheering for this at all, obviously, but maybe this will finally get their attention. And I don't know if it ties into Frankfurt Station, but I would say, from my view, this ties into all the swatting and the harassment of Trump supporters that's been going on.
That could be. So the German intelligence or police found it?
Der Spiegel, okay. Which, I mean, it's, you know, they might be tied into German intelligence. But
they found the contact information on Signal of these different people?
Yes.
On Signal. Interesting.
Yeah, because, well, they didn't say Signal in particular. They talked about, they did say Signal. Well, they're just saying all these different messaging apps. You know, I think they said WhatsApp, which is now owned by Facebook. It's not secure at all.
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah. FBI.
Yeah.
And has full time.
So
Yeah, there's some that are more secure than others, and some spring up, but eventually they get penetrated. Threema is a good one. There's one called
I've never heard of that one.
Up Messenger. It's basically most. I think that almost all of them have a different intelligence service behind them, and so it's.
Well, wasn't it the CIA that I think made Signal, or at least the?
So they say.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So, but it's a pick your poison kind of situation.
Well, and then you had Telegram, which might have been the one independent one. And was it France? Where did they arrest the creator of
France in Paris?
Yeah, yeah. And they arrested him and basically, you know, twisted his arm and said, "Hey, you're going to cooperate with us, or you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail." And he made a decision and he said, "Okay, fine," and they released him.
Yeah, they invited him for dinner. Macron invited him for dinner.
It's like a James Bond movie. He's like, "Come to dinner, Mr. Bond. Yeah. Oh, hang out in my cell until we bring you for dinner."
And they arrested him at the airport.
Yeah. Did you ever feel like when you were kind of involved in a lot of this stuff, you were in a James Bond movie?
Oy. I don't go there. It was pretty wild. This was...
I mean, a Russian redhead, Patrick. I mean, come on.
I'm done, actually, believe it or not, Stranger Things for God and country. But it was an honor. I never thought... Anyway, the movie explains it all. I hope you get a chance to see it.
What are some of the other details? Is it already available right now?
Well, yeah, it's up on Amazon, it's up on Google, it's up on Rumble.
So I can go home and watch it tonight.
And Mike Flynn, listen, there's a reason General Michael Flynn spent last year, the bulk of his time, making this story into a movie. He thinks that in our information war, this is our one hypersonic missile. I was right there at the creation of all of this. We have been living through a coup, and I can say that not as a theory. I was part of it. You know, there's a reason he's so smart. I mean, what people... Flynn is the best mind I've met of his generation at DC. He's so smart. He saw when the J6 committee opened, he said that Liz Cheney gave this little speech where she said, and on the night, remember how we kind of snuck into the White House on December 18th, 2020. Remember that story of us getting in to see Trump? She said, and on the night of December 18th, the Oval Office was penetrated by General Michael Flynn, Sidney Powell, and somebody else. And he came in the next morning and said, "Why is this? Why?" He was laughing. So I said, "Why are they afraid to even mention your name?" I said, "Because I'm kryptonite. My story is kryptonite to the deep state."
Well, and not only that, the intelligence, the experience that Flynn has, plus, I mean, if you wanted to replace Pam Bondi, I bet Sidney Powell, you want to strike fear into the deep state. I mean, she's just fierce. Like, she has no fear. She doesn't mess around. So I think it was kind of a trifecta where it's like the information you had and then the experience Flynn had and then this lawyer, you know, she wants to release the Kraken, it was the saying at the time. I think it was kind of like, we can't have Trump talking to them. Because Trump does get gatekept.
Oh,
you know?
Terribly.
Yeah.
And misinformed. He was terribly misinformed. As the movie shows, we made a very simple argument to him. It had nothing to do with theories of vote flipping from space. It had to do with the government itself had put out a bunch of statements in October and November and December of 2020 saying, we've been hacked. The biggest hack in history has gone on. The federal government's been hacked. 425 out of the Fortune 500 have been hacked. The DHS, the CIA, the State Department, DOD, NSA, everyone's been hacked. But it was this, I forget the name of that. That software company. And based on that, and including that the election systems had been hacked. Okay.
Was it CrowdStrike? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it was a different one. But based on that, he had all the authority in the world to investigate. And that's what we were saying.
Yeah.
Nothing is true.
Well, it is unfortunate, and we're up against a break. But it should be people like you and Flynn that are advising Trump every day, really.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, everything we broke down over the years has turned out to be dead on. Most of the time when we were a little bit off, it was because things were much worse than we were saying. But in the main, we've been dead on. That's our mission, be the most accurate out there. MSM's mission is to deceive you, lie to you, because they're mercenaries for the globalists. And we're funded by viewers and listeners like you. So we try to bring you products that really work, that you're going to love, so you come back and get them again and again. So many of you are going to be excited to hear that our ultimate turmeric formula is back in stock. The Shilajit is the best quality. The Irish Sea Moss is available as well. You're going to want to reorder it. But for viewers that haven't ever gotten the products and haven't experienced them, you are missing out. If our information is game-changing and one-of-a-kind,
Imagine what the products are like. Go now to TheAlexShowStore.com. It's not just great supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel and more at TheAlexShowStore.com, powering the American resistance to globalists worldwide and winning. The final battle is coming up towards the end of next month. Federal court's going to decide whether we get sold to the Bloomberg Group or they let patriots buy InfoWars and we continue on. But regardless, the final run, potentially, of X2 that is so incredible, the purest, best atomic iodine out there, has just come in at InfoWarsStore.com for 25% off. This could be your last chance to get X2, but regardless, fans love it. It's back in, so you can get it. And for those that haven't tried it, get your X2 now, right now, at InfoWarsStore.com. Every order that comes in will be shipped out regardless. We're not getting shut down for at least a month, so this is your last chance to get X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. X2 is one of the most amazing products, if not the most amazing, we've ever had at InfoWars. It's been a fan favorite for 12 years. So stock up now on what could be your last chance to get the legendary X2 at InfoWarsStore.com.
Anybody who's halfway informed about health and vitality knows that turmeric is one of the top super nutrients in the world. But concentrated turmeric is what you want. Most turmeric pills are 4%. That's raw. This is the strongest, 95% curcuminoid, with a bunch of other concentrated super nutrients like ginger and black pepperdine. And it's finally back in stock. Ultimate turmeric gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Just go see what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says about turmeric. And this stuff is the Godzilla of turmeric. And it funds the InfoWar. And while you're at thealexjonesstore.com, be sure to check out the widest selection anywhere of Patriot 1776 Part 2. Incredible clothing, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. It's all there, like this baby. The Second American Revolution at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're funding the tip of the spear in the Second American Revolution when you support us. So I thank and salute you all. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
In a world of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, so this is breaking now. Patrick Byrne in studio with me. The docuseries is out. I'm looking forward to watching it myself, The Enemy Within. It'll be very informative of how deep state, dark secret politics works and blackmail from Patrick's own experience, but I'm sure it's also very entertaining. But now this news is breaking, and we'll get your opinion on this and other issues with the Trump administration. A DHS staffer faces serious punishment for accidentally adding a reporter to a group email. I'm kind of just reading through this for myself, and it's not really adding up to me. Mary McCord is who they seem to be blaming this on almost a week later. I think it's not probably important to mention. It's like, well, the timing is odd. Mary McCord, who may need some further research in her background, a former top official in the Justice Department National Security Division, ironically, which investigates the mishandling or leaking of classified information. How about that? And this is a quote who Mary McCord, a professor at Georgetown Law Center now, both of these examples, right? You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Both of these examples of carelessness in handling of highly sensitive information, the disclosure of which could put the U.S. government employees or military members in danger, we should expect the Signal chat breach to be taken at least as seriously. Okay, well, my initial response to this is they're blaming it all on her. She's going to be the fall girl, if you will. But the timing doesn't make any sense. Why would they do this now if they knew it the entire time? Why this to me is like, cover the tracks, blame her, let's try to move on.
I don't know. For the government within 1 week to get an answer like this, are you kidding? When did it happen? Over the weekend? Last weekend? Right?
I guess it would have been Friday when they first published it.
For the government to get this done and get that answer out to the public and all the layers of approval, even that took that's actually pretty fast.
But it sounds like that she recognized she did it immediately. She says, realizing her mistake immediately, the employee called the reporter who agreed not to disclose the information. But of course, he did disclose the information, and she said she realized it immediately. So then why wasn't it handled immediately?
Well, she's could be. They're putting a lot of quotes in her mouth if this isn't true. Or, well, maybe she's
the fall. It is NBC. So yeah.
if she's the fall guy, she's at least agreed to be the fall guy.
Yeah.
If she's saying stuff like this.
I mean, it does kind of go into,
and that happens, you know, that happens when somebody gets caught. There's often an underling who will take the fall under the idea of a karmic promise being made that someday down the road.
Yeah, right. You'll get a new position here.
Yeah, when this blows over.
Yeah, like, hey, you work at the EPA right now. Do you think you could get our regulations tests passed and then you'll be on the board in 10 years?
Right.
That stuff never goes on in D.C., Owen. Come on. Well, I will say that it does fall in line with what Waltz said in his Fox News interview, where he looked extremely uncomfortable. It also falls in line with what I can only assume, but my interview with Loomer yesterday, who has her own sources inside the Trump administration.
She's good. I have to say she's good. We have a little communication going. I've come to see how good she is.
Well, she's really good, and I know she has her sources, and she's kind of got her own issues, I think, with some gatekeepers inside the administration. But basically, based off of her reporting yesterday, and she was going after one individual who got into the Trump administration that may still be a problem but might not be behind this, that she was covering yesterday with ties to the CCP, and she had sources inside of the Trump administration, I'm 99% sure who it is, but I won't say, who basically was telling her, hey, that's not the guy, which makes me think maybe they knew it was Mary the whole time. I have to say I'm skeptical of all of this because I think it just doesn't really add up to me.
Skeptical is good.
Yeah. Skeptical. I can't help but be skeptical. I've been lied to by my government so much, my media so much.
It's pretty crazy how off-track it's gotten, isn't it? Can you imagine that we are so infinitely better off than we were 4 years ago?
It's hard to imagine.
We could not have survived had this election been stolen again.
Oh, my gosh.
The day Trump would be in a jail cell right now.
You might be in a jail cell right now.
I was over in Qatar, man. I wasn't coming back. I was actually instructed by somebody high up in the DOJ, do not set foot in the United States until Donald Trump is president. I was instructed like a year ago. I stayed overseas really for almost the entire last 2 years.
What was that like, by the way?
Qatar and Dubai, no crime. Good things to say about them. Overseas, I like the Gulf. There's no crime. You got to like that. I was in West Africa a lot, too. Some people tried to kidnap me there. There's a.
You can't have people knowing who you are in West Africa.
Yeah, they do. This is there's a Newsweek story about this. Venezuela has put a $25 million bounty out on me, and some people tried to.
Venezuela. What did you do to the commies?
Well, I've been behind this whole movement to try to get to the bottom of the election integrity. The truth is, all of this equipment. You want the quick elevator pitch? A mafia took over Venezuela 25 years ago. It's called the Mafia of the Sons, S-U-N-S, because in Venezuela, the generalissimos wear a sun on their shoulder. The Mafia of the Sons is what they call it. It is the government. And they seized the biggest oil reserves in the world. That's PDVSA. That's the oil company of Venezuela. It's the largest oil reserves in the world. And if you're sitting on the world's biggest gas station and you get to just pump and steal trillions. They've stolen $2, $3, $4 trillion, depending on who you talk to. I was there 8, 7 years ago. There was cannibalism. People were so broke. But the mafia has looted $4 trillion. The other thing you need to steal is the Election Commission. So they stole the Election Commission, and they generated technology that they could rig, computerized election technology that they could rig from behind the scenes. That got spun off and commercialized as a company called Smartmatic. And then Smartmatic, through by hook or by crook, its technology is at the core of all the machines whose other brand names you know. So when you're voting, you're really voting on these machines. You're voting on technology that's really owned and can be controlled by the Venezuelan mafia.
Well, you know, it's not even like a far-fetched thing to understand how tech like that can be manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's basic. That's a basic understanding for anybody that uses a computer. So, you know, my problem is when you deal with some of these international stories, and I've just kind of learned this through the process of the media, it's really hard, especially when it's foreign language speaking, because it's really hard. I don't, when you try to go and look at some of these European countries or Middle East countries or South American countries, they don't print stories in English. You have to find a translation to even get an idea of what's going on. You can look at some of the videos that emerge from protests and stuff like that, but, you know, that can be astroturfed. What do you think the real story about Venezuela was? So you think Maduro did not win legitimately?
Oh, I know quite a bit about that. That's why there's actually the bounty. They think that I'm behind. They think that I rigged their election.
They think you did it?
Yes, and they had trouble on election day. See, they have. I'll even tell you the story if you want.
Well, they had a lot of trouble on and after election day.
Here's how their elections work. They have normally about 7 million people vote against the dictator, 2 million vote for them, and they stuff 5.5 million ballots. They introduced a few years ago, a new system that when people vote, they not only show their ID, but they give their thumbprint. They don't unknow it, but that the software actually ties their ballot image to their thumbprint. So the secret police can look up later and see how you voted. So that's not good. But the problem is now when they hold an election, how do you stuff the 5.5 million ballots when you don't have those 5.5 million thumbprints? Well, they have a secret tool they use to cheat in their own election, and it generates the correct 9-digit code for each thumbprint, so they don't have to have the actual people. And that's how they stuff 5.5 million ballots. That secret tool was working right up until midnight on Saturday, July 27th. But election day, Sunday, July 28th, at 12:01, that tool started spitting out random 9-digit numbers, and they couldn't bypass their fingerprint reader. They couldn't stuff the 5.5 million ballots, let me finish the story. They just canceled all their fake transparency and came out the next morning and said, "We won 51-49, and get used to it." That's why. That's what happened. And they think
you
that
know I who was behind that. So they think you. Oh, okay. Now
they
I get
think it. I know something about this, Orwin.
I do too. I'm going the same place Maduro is. I'm looking at you right now.
So they evidently looked into that tool 10 days later and they discovered it had been C-sharp code had been rewritten.
So let's. I don't think you're behind it. I'm being facetious, but clearly that was an international group behind that. Some other country definitely did that. It probably might have been the CIA. Wouldn't shock me one bit if it was the CIA.
Well, no, it was. I can assure you, it was not the CIA.
It was the CIA.
No, it was not the CIA. I promise you, it was not the CIA.
You know, you think about the situation in Venezuela. Like you said, all the natural gas, the resources to make that country fabulously wealthy.
Oh yeah,
fabulous.
Biggest world reserve.
I'd love
Saudi
to go
Arabia.
Visit Venezuela. But I would, who knows what I'd have to endure. I don't even want to go to Brazil. I love Brazil. I think it's the most beautiful country on the, I'm too scared to go back to Brazil. They might just throw me away.
Yeah.
That Voldemort looking Supreme Court justice. Just.
Oh gosh, isn't he something?
My goodness. Well, you know, now they're going to take Bolsonaro to trial. They're doing the same stuff
same
they did
with,
in
Trump. With Le Pen over in France. Le Pen.
Really?
Le Pen, wow. They're going to, maybe within a couple of weeks, she may be in prison.
What are they charging her with?
Same thought crap. Crime, same crap. Who cares? It's whatever they make up. It's like contributing to the insecurity of the state. Something so vague you don't know when you're doing it.
Do you feel like, I look at America, and I feel like we're at this boiling point where, you look at what's going on with the radical left-wing terrorism, which is exactly what it is. Yep. It's exactly what it is. And the longer it goes on without people being arrested, it's going to get worse, and it's going to start impacting other people. It's going to start impacting people that aren't involved in politics. It's going to impact their families. It's going to impact their neighborhoods, their communities. And eventually, they're going to feel drawn into get involved or just understand how dangerous the left is. The realization is there. But it's like we're reaching this boiling point where we know the source. We know this is Democrat Party politics. We know this is Democrat Party dark money. We know the funding is all being stolen from the taxpayer. But it's like, what do you do? Because, I mean, I know what I do. I declare the Democrat Party a domestic terrorist organization. And I would start – I think you could even do legal proceedings. I don't even think you'd have to reach that far. For example, you look at Mayorkas, and this ties into them bringing in, you know, maybe gang members to do their dirty work. And you look at Mayorkas or any of the NGOs involved getting the money and you say, okay, we've arrested this individual in Florida, wherever. He just raped and murdered a woman. We've arrested him. Now we're going to go back and we're going to find out, where did he stay? Oh, he stayed at this NGO? Okay, we're going to charge them with aiding and abetting in a crime. How did he come across the border? Oh, he used the CBP One app? Okay, we're going to go look at who started the CBP One app. We're going to charge them with aiding and abetting in a crime. Who wrote the policy for all this? Oh, you did? Okay, we're going to charge you with aiding and abetting in a rape and murder. That's what I would do.
Well,
I don't even think it's like you don't have to.
But is that really the root of it all? Suppose what happened to that created the situation that mattered?
I wouldn't say it was the root of it all. I would say I'm looking at a strategy to try to arrest the real criminals.
My point is the root of it. What you have to get to is you got to get to election 2020. We can't move forward until election 2020 is exposed. And Trump came out today. I just saw this. Trump came out today and said, we have it all. We have all the documents. We have the whole thing. And they do. The whole thing is provable now. I also wanted to mention anyway, I'll stop there. I don't want to go on.
Well, did you see the executive order he signed on election integrity?
A few days ago.
That was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
It still shows the influence of Harmeet Dhillon, who, God bless her, but she's an establishment Republican. So she really doesn't want to do what has to be done. The idea that there's like, the federal government is now going to work hand in hand with some states, we're going to cooperate and share information. There's secretaries of state of six states that need to be arrested. They were part of this. They took part in it. There's people who need to be arrested. And that is
Georgia one of them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they stole Georgia. I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, it couldn't be right. They stole Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Arizona.
Right.
Those states 100% were stolen.
And you know that when we knew that once they stopped counting ballots, which is the first sign. Like the U.S. State Department, when we teach election theory around the world, one of the things we teach is when you start counting ballots, you count until they're done. There's no such thing as when you want to rig an election, the first step is you do something to disrupt the counting. And it happened on election night in 2020 in six places that all have one thing in common, the capital cities of swing states. And they're the capital counties where two-thirds of the vote of the state is in one county. So you don't have to cheat. You don't really – this whole no widespread fraud is a straw man. There doesn't have to be widespread fraud. There are 3,000 counties in America. You need to cheat in six of them because those six flip six states. So, and there's narrow and deep cheating like crazy. And those were the six counties that stopped counting. Anyway, this is all fully understood now. We have it all broken out.
Isn't it amazing? Because I was talking about, I don't know if you know the special election, the Supreme Court election coming up in Wisconsin. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing when you, and really, I was always kind of just like, I like crunching numbers and stats and percentages because I come from a sports background. So I'm just into that stuff. I just kind of get it. But when really after the 2020 election, anybody that wanted to look into that, it opened, it's like it opened everything. And you start to understand things like you said, like really you just have to, if you just go into the right six counties, you can steal the entire election. You go into the right county in Pennsylvania, you go into the right county in Georgia, Wisconsin, Arizona, Michigan, you can steal an entire election just with six counties.
Yeah, it's real jujitsu. Because of our electoral college, the way it's set up in those six counties. In each case, that's, you know, the Phoenix basically is two-thirds of the votes in Arizona. Detroit is two-thirds of the votes in Michigan. Las Vegas, two-thirds of the vote in Nevada. So you can really steal the whole state and everything that matter means for the electoral college. You can seal it just by rigging, having some really dirty people in one county. And it really takes like five or six people.
Yeah. So and they got them.
Yeah.
And they got them. And then the other thing that we learn, and this is what I hope we don't have to learn it the hard way. If I had to place a bet, I'd say we're going to have to learn it the hard way. I hope I'm wrong. But if I was going to bet, I'd say, yep, they're going to win that. The Democrats are going to win in Wisconsin. They're going to gerrymander. They're going to steal two House seats. But that's the other thing that we're about to learn the hard way, I think, too, is the Democrats are spending hundreds of millions of dollars in that election. They're on the ground. Obama is campaigning. Hakeem Jeffries is campaigning. They're all in. The Republicans are, I mean, they're like nowhere to be found, really. But they're gonna win that Supreme Court seat. They're going to gerrymander. They're going to steal two House seats. And then they're going to steal the House. And then they're going to impeach Trump. And people are going to just sit back and say, gee, how can this happen? Say, no. This has been happening. This is not a new phenomenon. The Democrats have done this all across the nation for your entire life.
Yeah, well, it's always been part. Actually, I've been following election fraud for about 20 years, and I would have told you until 5 years ago that I thought there was 2 or 3% cheating in both directions. The Democrats probably had a 1 or 2% edge, so it was probably a net 1 to 2% advantage to them. I now understand it much differently. They can bend things 10 or 15% when they really have to.
Well, and I guess it's really about whatever the agenda is. And I was too young to care or follow when George Bush beat Al Gore, but obviously the Democrats were accusing that of being rigged. They accused him of cheating. They accused him of stealing Florida. I mean, what do you think? Do you think they stole that for Bush so that they could run 9/11 and everything else or get the war in Iraq and everything?
I don't think it connects like that. I don't think it connects like that. One of the things that people don't mention is the deal was no one was going to call Florida until 7 o'clock when voting closed. Fox, and this never gets mentioned, Fox called Florida at like 5:30. And
for Bush?
No, for Gore.
Really? So it was like Arizona.
And a bunch of people, or I forget who they called it for, but the main event is there's the panhandle of Florida is actually in Central Time Zone. And so they had not, there was an hour of voting left, and Pensacola is very Republican, and they figured it probably cost Bush 40,000 votes, because 40,000 people should have shown up and voted who didn't in that last hour and a half. And they would have been hardcore Republican votes. So now that was probably an error on Fox's part, but if they had not done that, Bush would have won the state by 40,000 votes.
Yeah. Well, and now Florida is considered a Republican stronghold, I would say.
Yeah, but only recently. Republicans are way too, for one thing, this Trump executive order is great. It moves the ship in the right direction. But when the facts come out about what really happened in 2020 and what's been happening here for about 20 years, they have to go all the way to a straight third world style election where there's voting on one day.
Yep.
It's a national holiday. There's an ink pot. You vote, everything's in person, and you count the ballots where they're cast, which is one of the first principles we teach all over the world. And we need to run one election by the standards we teach the world.
Which, by the way, most of these states don't even follow their own constitution anymore. Yes. They don't even follow it in Texas. You can't even audit the vote. You're supposed to have the ballot and like a copy, like an image, like a PNG copy. They don't even do that in Georgia. It's like the state constitutions they don't even follow. Well, I want to get your final thoughts on this because I agree. You find out the election fraud. I mean, I don't think Trump is going to go back to the state legislatures selecting the senators.
No.
Which was the originalist interpretation, which would keep the Democrats from ever winning the Senate, another way they steal elections. But Trump did say he's got more coming with election integrity. Do you have an idea of where he might be going next?
I think I know where he's going. And he's not bluffing. When he says, just like yesterday or today, he said, we have it all. Don't worry. I've got all the documentation. I know that he's telling the truth. Look, as pure a jihadi on this issue as anyone you will find. I've been in it from the beginning. And even I, knowing what I know about who has the information, I am comfortable that this is going to get resolved as quick as government can resolve things. Quickly. I think it's going to shock people looking back. But so the government, the right people in government have the information, and I believe that Donald Trump is sincere that he wants this out. The central event in his life, and in really the life of the American Republic, was November 3rd, 2020. Our election was stolen. And once that gets revealed, it unravels the thread on so much else that happened these last 4 years. It changes the color of everything that happened on J6. They were patriots who were the ones who followed what they knew. They knew what was going on. Our republic was being stolen. All the media, which said baseless, 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 parroted over and over, will have in my view, discredited themselves. You know, the central question of American history, they were on the wrong side of. And then it also, people will look at that and how it tied into COVID and everything else that happened and realize we're experiencing a color revolution. It's a very Maoist and a very structure. And they know just what they're doing. And we were walked through with military precision. I think our republic missed being taken out as about as narrowly as Trump missed that, yeah. that bullet missed Trump.
It was like an analogy, like a metaphor for everything.
Yeah.
And we're still there, though. I mean, it's kind of like the bullet is almost still in the air, like coming back around the world.
It's more like, do we use these 4 years to defeat the Bolshevik Revolution, or do we just kick the can down the road? Because it's by, like, the grace of God that bullet did not take out.
Well, that's why I'm like, and I say it every day, and this is just me. I'm out of patience. I'm like, I understand. I'm like zero tolerance. I'm like, I want to rest now. I'm like, so that's just how I am because of what I've been through and what I've seen. But so what does this do now with the fake Biden signatures? I mean, it nullifies his whole presidency.
Nullifies the whole. I mean, I really think that Trump could use this to. You know, the Supreme Court, if we had a functioning Supreme Court, would just probably say everything. But how do you unravel 4 years of history? But it makes everything clear. I mean, things like Afghanistan, it was on purpose. It was on purpose.
Right.
There must have been some backroom deal to give China all our best, latest technology.
And the Al-Qaeda that took over Afghanistan, they did the same thing in Ukraine, laundered the money, laundered the weapons, got their proxy wars, overthrew Assad.
Those weapons went to China, and really they went.
So then
they
went to Iran.
They went to some went to Iran, but the real bulk went to China, and they're sitting down. Some of them are sitting in Mexico now. They've caught people taking missiles and stuff over the border.
Yeah, and then there were some unconfirmed reports about those missiles even making their way across the border.
Yeah,
when Biden was president, which it wouldn't be too hard to believe, wide open.
I think the Chinese have positioned some of that material on the Mexican side of our southern border. We were supposed to collapse these 4 years. The Chinese plan, which you can read, you know, the secret speech of Chu Haotian.
The Chinese own Biden.
Yeah, well, he's absolutely. They wanted us to collapse, go into civil war, become a walking dead-like world. Within 3 years, 90% of people are dead. The cartels would be given those 3 years to rape, pillage, loot, and burn. And then after 3 years, they withdraw and China occupies.
Well, see, you can that's such a great way to end this interview. And I know you're going to be back on with Alex tomorrow. But you see, I can still see it happening now with these Tesla dealerships. They're still wanting that civil war. Like, they want us to face off at a Tesla dealership. And so I kind of look at this stuff and I'm like, I can go get my content, and I get this content, and it hit millions of views. It's very popular. It's like the most popular thing that I do. But I'm also like, I don't want to be a part of the operation, too. It's like, I could go get the content and get a million views, but then it's like, am I serving a role unwittingly in this intentional civil war conflict they're trying to draw us into at a Tesla dealership? Patrick Byrne, great stuff as always. The new film you can get on Amazon, The Enemy Within, and then you'll be back on The Alex Jones Show tomorrow.
Yes, I will. Thank
Wonderful.
You very much.
Always a pleasure. We'll be
Good
right back,
you.
Folks.
I have been so hot and heavy on the news the last few weeks that I have not come up. Most of me yesterday, I didn't plug one time the whole show because I was just so focused and pissed off about what's going on because we're winning, but the fight is so dangerous. This is the most intense part right now. And so please go to theolivestonestore.com. We have the great atomic defense, the strongest, greatest, concentrated of all the known herbs and compounds to boost your immune system. Everybody should be on, especially this time of year, with the limited edition Trump 2024 Battle for the Republic coin. On one side, on the other side, the commemorative inauguration. There's a limited amount of those. About as of this morning, 1/4 of them are gone. There'll be no more made after that. This funds the operation. So I want to thank all of you that have supported. I'll encourage those that haven't gone to theolivestonestore.com to take action now. The supplements are the best. You're going to find anywhere. Become a VIP member for $30 a month. Cancel any time. Get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special sales, special discounts, special offers, and products only to members. Theolivestonestore.com.
Here's where all eyes now are on gold and silver. Because gold went over $3,000 an ounce, it's at an all-time high. That's a very strong technical and psychological threshold number, that 3,000. So now that the world is looking at gold, the world is also going to be looking at silver. So even the massive growth that we've already seen, I'm guessing it's just the beginning.
Gut level. Where do you think gold is in a month?
3,100 in a month, like in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And then I think it gets to 3,200 by the beginning of the summer. And we could literally see 4,000 as momentum starts to gather and as the eyes of the world get on it. And then silver,
you know, probably 50 to 75.
People need to call you, do a free consultation, leave your name and number, 720-605-3900, kpm.com/gold. Do the form. They'll call you back. They'll do a free consultation. They can roll over your IRAs, 401ks. Do it now, folks. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much.
My pleasure. See ya.
It's good to be right, isn't it? Wow.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're racing here. We're also going to be joined shortly by an expert on Canadian politics. Is this just insane what's going on up there? It's kind of like the same thing. And I know I say this a lot. I'm not a purist, and you have to take the good with the bad in politics here. And so people kind of complain about Pierre Poilievre, and he's got issues and other stuff. Well, he's not perfect, but he's clearly the right option for Canada right now. He's gaining all the momentum, getting this populist movement behind him, set to become the leader. And then this guy comes from a foreign country, Carney, and now all of a sudden he's winning in all the polls. So it's just crazy. We're going to talk about that. I want to try to follow up here, and it's hard, and I may have misinterpreted this story. I can't tell now. Again, this is just breaking, and I've got some other intel incoming. Mary McCord is not the fall gal for this. They're just citing her in this NBC News story as the expert, which it's like, why would they go to her? She's probably a Democrat, but I would doubt she's a friend of Trump's. And in fact, she's definitely not a friend of Trump's. She's very anti-Trump. So I guess they just called her up to just add fuel to this fire that is Signalgate. Someone's getting fired for this, folks. Someone's getting fired for this. I would say at this point, it will be the first firing of the Trump administration. So congratulations, Pam Bondi. You won't be the first one to get canned, though you might be next. So I want to just say it was not Mary McCord, but she was referenced in the NBC News article, and so that's why we were confused. So maybe it still was Wong, or maybe there was something else going on behind the scenes. But it sounds like McCord and NBC News are now inserting themselves into the story, because they may have their own agenda. Or they may want to throw the scent off of whoever was responsible for this and then claim it was some remote hack, which I don't believe for a second. So I'm sure there'll be more on that. And who knows? Maybe Trump makes a decision. On Waltz very, very soon in response to all of this. So it looks like McCord was just used as a, you know, expert witness for that NBC news story, and is likely, I would say, working with the media to try to either throw the scent off of what really happened, or just they can't help themselves. Any chance they get with an opening to attack Donald Trump or the Trump administration, they're going to take it. So if we get some clarification on that, we will. But like I said, I got a guest coming up shortly, and then we're going to be joined by Alex Rosen, fresh out of jail, catches a pedophile in Branson, Missouri, and then he gets arrested. But we'll explain that whole story for you coming up, and I'll try to get through the rest of the news because I still got a ton of news, ton of video clips, ton of Doge news. But we're going to go to this news out of Canada coming up on the other side of this break. All right. Folks, remember, please support us at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can tell you all about the great products we have, the supplements, the most popular T-shirts, hats, hoodies, all the apparel, the collectible items, the brand new coin we have, the Alex Jones coin. The best way to support us is to become a VIP member, thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Why is this the best way to support us? Because sales are sometimes good, sales are sometimes bad, it goes up and down. We don't know if it's going to be a good day or a bad day sometimes, but with the VIP monthly membership, that is what sustains us into the future. That is what budgets us into the future. Find more out about all the benefits of becoming a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP.
Quite frankly, I didn't develop Optimal Human when Bigley came on as a big sponsor, and I told them the supplements I wanted from the companies I wanted. They went out and did what I wanted. People love them, and they're incredible. The turmeric, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it. But they'd had this out for years, and I thought, my green caps are great, and you know this other company I use is great because, you know, green superfoods are amazing. And then I finally took it, and Harrison Smith took it, and I was like, my God. And by then, we've been selling it 4 or 5 months, and it was already a top seller. The problem is there's so many ingredients, and it's so hard to source, and it's so clean, high standards, that it's sold out most of the time. We finally got a decent shipment of it in, but we never offered it for subscription because we just couldn't keep it. When you subscribe at thealexjonesstore.com, and then they keep it back for you so it never sells out. So go to thealexjonesstore.com and get your Optimal Human and so many other incredible products today. Check out all the great Patriot apparel. Make your life more healthy and enriched, and help keep us on the air as we take on the deep state at point blank range and win.
Unmasking the elite's deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, joining me now, Maxime Bernier, and he was in InfoWars Studios last week, and we were going to have him on, but then he had to jump and deal with some other business, so he's joining me now remotely, and it's actually probably a good time because there's crazy developments right here, and I want to get Maxime's opinion on this because I'm just at a loss. I mean, we got our own problems with elections here, but Pierre Poilievre had all the momentum, getting all the, you know, whatever Trudeau was losing popularity, Pierre was gaining. He was making the strides to, you know, become the next leader. And then out of nowhere, here comes this Carney guy, and now he's leading in all the polls. Maxime, can you tell my audience what the hell's going on in Canada?
Yeah, first, thank you for having me. I'm very pleased to be with you. And as you can see, I'm in my car. I'm traveling across the country. We are in a national electoral campaign. As you know, the election in Canada will be April 28th. And you're right. Poilievre, I'm the leader of the People's Party of Canada. We are the new populist party. And Poilievre is the leader of the Conservative Party. You know, Poilievre was way ahead in the polls before the election. And Trudeau resigned. And after that, they had a new leader, Mark Carney. He is a globalist. He was working with the UN. But the media here, the mainstream media, they're leftist and leftist activists. So they are pushing Carney. Carney, you know, cannot do any wrong. And actually, Poilievre, the problem that we have with him here in Canada, he is going to the left. He tried to go to the left to try to split the Liberals' vote. And by doing that, he's losing his base, because 25% of his base are happy with President Trump. And, you know, that's my people. I'm the guy that is fighting like Trump's against globalists, against, you know, the radical gender ideology. But Poilievre is not speaking about that. And now, you know, he's speaking against Trump because, as you know, President Trump did impose tariffs. But Poilievre was the first national leader to say to the Trudeau government, the Liberal government, to impose tariffs and to have that these counter tariffs. And Canadians are upset about that because they are paying the price. You know, the Liberals and the Conservatives are okay to impose taxes on us, on all the goods that are coming from the U.S. And, you know, there's a lot of goods that are coming from the U.S. And now the prices is going up. So Poilievre doesn't know what to do. He was the guy against Trudeau, and he did a campaign for the last 2 years against Trudeau. And now, you know, for Poilievre and the Liberals, the enemy is President Trump. And for me, it is not.
Well, again, I'm kind of looking at this like I'm peeking over my shoulder every once in a while to just keep tabs on the situation. I'm not in the trenches like you are, but it was like what Trudeau had done to the Liberal Party was basically destroyed it. And they still had their foot in the door and their foot in Parliament, but it was like, okay, now the Conservative Party was on the rise, the People's Party was on the rise, this is where the real fight was. And then it's like I look over again, and all of a sudden Carney's in the lead. Like he came out of nowhere. Where did he even come from?
He's coming from the UN. Carney was the globalist in chief. He was working. He was the UN envoy for climate action and finance. He was the one that was out there to promote a carbon tax, all across the world. And now that is the leader of the Liberals Party, and he was also giving some advice to Prime Minister Trudeau. And now that is the Prime Minister of Canada, he said no more carbon tax. That's another challenge for Poilievre, because Poilievre wanted to have an election based on the carbon tax, act the tax. That was his slogan. Now he cannot speak about that anymore, because Carney and the Liberals and Poilievre, have the same policy on that. The most important that Poilievre is not speaking about, that we are, as a populist party, we are speaking against mass immigration. Like, Nigel Farage in UK, the young, new populist party, the Reform over there. We are like the Canadian Reform. And so Nigel did speak about immigration, and he did also speak about ending mass immigration in UK, deportation. That's very important here in Canada, and I'm speaking about that. Our policy is to have a pause on immigration, a moratorium on immigration for a couple of years, and do the deportation. But Poilievre won't speak about that, and there's 70% of the population who are saying, yes, we are fed up with mass immigration. So that's another challenge for Poilievre. And that's why I'm saying right now, the Conservative Party of Canada under Pierre Poilievre, they're like, before President Trump, the Republican Party, the Rhino. Poilievre is conservative in name only. The Conservative Party of Canada are ready to conserve only one thing. Everything that the Liberals have done to us, they have the same policies, and they're ready to keep that. And that's a big problem.
Well, we have a huge audience here in Canada, and it seems like from the view down south of the border of Canada that a lot of Canadians are very like-minded politically to the Trump movement, to the populist Trump movement. Why is it so hard for that populist movement that is, make Canada great again, let's say, why is it so hard for them to get any inroads politically?
Because we don't have the mainstream media. They are leftists, like I said in the beginning. And here in Canada, we don't have a Canadian Fox News, for example. It's very difficult for myself to be on mainstream media. I'm doing a press conference every day, live. They can ask me questions. They are not coming. They are ignoring us. They are canceling us. And so for Pierre Poilievre, what they're doing to him, they're pumping, they're challenging Poilievre, and they want to have Carney to be the next prime minister elected. So our big problem is our mainstream media. We are, Canadians are, yes, listening, podcasts and other independent media, but not like you in the U.S. We are a little bit late. And it's more difficult also in a parliamentary system. There's no proportionality in our electoral system. It's very difficult for a young party like that to be elected. But I can tell you, we are feeling a momentum on social media. I'm doing a lot of podcasts, and our movement is growing, and more people understand the importance of doing bold reforms. And what Poilievre is not speaking about also, it's having a kind of a Dodge department that will look at all the spending in Ottawa. He doesn't want to cut because, he wants to please everybody. I'm speaking about that. We have a deficit of $50 billion in Canada this year. And I said today, actually, in a press conference, that we can cut $60 billion and being able to balance the budget. You know, the federal government is giving $10 billion in foreign aid, and the big majority of that is to promote, you know, radical leftist ideology like wokeism and DEI and fighting in Ukraine when, you know, President Trump wants a peace deal. I'm for it. But the problem with Poilievre right now is not speaking about the real issues for real conservatives in Canada.
Are the polls that show Carney so popular even real? Are those even accurate?
That's a good question. I don't think so. Because, you know, they're not polling us. They're not putting us when they're doing a poll, us, the People's Party. And I think they want to manage, to influence the public opinion. I understand that Poilievre is, Carney, is popular, his campaign is going well, but it's very difficult for me to think that he's winning right now the campaign. We still have 4 weeks in Canada, and, you know, everything can happen. I hope that Poilievre will come back with real conservative policies, but for us, we are there fighting, and more people are saying, you know, we want you, Bernier. We want you there. You have a momentum. But actually, nobody in the mainstream media is able to promote or being fair with us. And I will end with that. There's a debate in Canada during your presidential election. And I was supposed to participate in these national debates on TV with these leaders. And they changed the rules to be sure that they will exclude the People's Party. And a lot of our people, the real conservative, you know, free market people who are fighting for their country, are very upset because we won't be there. And we were able to be there in 2019. And so that's another challenge for the conservative movement here in Canada. You have the media, the mainstream media, against us.
Well, I kind of want you to expand on that, because this is actually big. This sounds like election rigging from within. You've got your own problems from outside of the country, but they're not even going to let you on the debate stage?
Yeah, they're not. They're saying, actually, you know, they were saying, you know, Bernier, if you have 4%, when we started the party a couple of years ago, we had 4%. And they said, okay, we had 5%, actually. They said, if you have more than 4%, you will participate in the national debates. I did participate at the first election when we were created in 2019. But after that, you know, they said they decided to change the rule just to exclude us. And our electoral system, we don't have, like you in the U.S., the Dominion machines, the voting machines that will count votes. We are doing that by hands, papers. It's very good. But our problem is you can vote in Canada without showing an ID with your face and your address. And we are promoting in Canada mail-in ballots. We need to change that to be sure that our electoral process, electoral system, will be fair.
Wow. So they're keeping you off the debate stage, even though you're qualified, which tells me they are afraid of you. If they weren't afraid of you, then they would let you on the debate stage. But they're keeping you off because they are afraid of you, and they clearly want to hand this thing to Carney, who just popped up on the scoreboard out of nowhere. I mean, he wasn't even on the radar. Now, all of a sudden, he's the leader in the clubhouse. It makes no sense. Well, I appreciate your time. We'll be following up as the election nears. I mean, is there any hope that they can get you on a debate stage, or is it a done deal?
But maybe, yes. You know, I will challenge them in court. It's too important. You know, what they're doing right now, they are censoring Canadians who voted for us. And our voice won't be there. It's not democratic. So I will challenge them in court, and we'll see. I'll do everything to be able to participate in these national debates. I will keep you informed.
All right. Thank you for your time. Godspeed. And we'll be following this very closely, as I'm sure the results of this will impact U.S. foreign policy and relations with Canada as well.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
You too. Wow. Okay. Lot of breaking news on today's transmission. We are just flying around here like crazy. And I want to remind you, coming up now, in about 10 minutes, Alex Rosen, who got arrested for busting a child predator, he's going to be giving us his first interview post his jail stay. So a lot going on here, ladies and gentlemen. Since we're on the geopolitical conversation, we might as well continue it. So let me get through this stack. Ex-Israeli general warns the country could collapse in a year. Here is why. And have I not been telling you that Israel has its own problems right now that the media won't tell you? And then this became the top story. It was posted at the top of the X news feed today. Maybe that's why X went down. Oh, I cracked myself up. I'm sorry, but actually it's probably real. This was the top of the X story feed today. And then it got under cyber attack. Golly gee. Israel on the brink of collapse. What the media won't tell you. Well, so X is the media, so they cyber attacked X because they didn't want you to read it. Unprecedented economic losses. They have all the details shared in the story. For the sake of time, I'm just going to go through the bullet points. Forced displacement of Israelis. Unprecedented psychological crisis. The reverse Jewish exodus. Political and moral collapse. Internal revolt and elite divisions. And then the conclusion says, are we witnessing the beginning of Israel's end? Now, I'm not making that claim, but, you know, other expert voices have said the same thing. And all I've said is there are both sides of Israel. There's the people that support Netanyahu and what they're doing in the Gaza Strip. And then there's the people that don't like Netanyahu and are against what he's doing in the Gaza Strip. And there's protests in the streets every day. But that covers the real story of what Israel is facing right now. But you won't hear a lick of it anywhere in the Western media. Probably for the same reason X went down today when that was the number one trending story. I doubt those two things are isolated incidents. We mentioned this earlier. German outlet finds contact info for Hegseth, Waltz, and Gabbard, saying, oh, it's available on the dark web. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if this ties directly into the swatting incidents with people's personal information out there. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. And I've been saying it since day one. That's how serious this is. And I don't want this to start reaching, you know, the Trump administration or people close to President Trump. And they need great security. But I'm telling you, the stuff is out there, folks. The stuff is out there. And they've got it. And I've been saying it since day one. So I don't know if this has anything to do with the Signal story, quite frankly. And they're blaming it on a female staffer is what they're blaming it on, a female staffer. I was reading the name earlier from the NBC story, but that was not who it was. It's getting crazy. It is getting crazy, isn't it? The good news, we've got hearings on the Democrat terrorism at Tesla and the swattings. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking, but we do have it on anti-Semitism. We got that going on. Senate hearing on combating anti-Semitism. That happened today, a couple hours long. So that's the big concern, obviously. And then they go in and they arrest this doctoral student at Tufts University. This is like, I mean, folks, this is about as communist of a scene you're ever going to see. This lady is walking down the street. She wrote a anti-Israel or a pro-Palestinian piece over a year ago. Now she's studying to get her doctor's degree, and she's just walking in the street. Car pulls up, masked men hop out of the car and like basically grab her up and throw her into the back of a vehicle because she wrote a pro-Palestinian article. It really is sad, and look, we've always had corruption in media. We've always had fake news and bias. And we would hope now, we were hoping at least, that you would get better, especially now with the new age of media and X and, you know, the MAGA movement and the populist movement. But it's sad to see so many so-called conservatives that celebrate this stuff. It's really sad. And look, again, I've said it from day one. This is not my hill to die on. My hill to die on is free speech. You're a foreign citizen. I can't really defend your right to free speech. You're not an American. I would defend your right to free speech as a principled free speech advocate. But legally, you don't have the same avenues as an American citizen would have. But I got arrested for free speech, so I guess I don't even really have free speech either. But it's really, to me, it's kind of disgusting to see people celebrating this. And then but that's just kind of like a bad taste in my mouth. What's nauseating is that it's the top priority of Congress, and it's the top priority of our federal law enforcement. That actually makes me sick. So people in the media being more loyal to a foreign country or Israel or, you know, hating Palestine or jumping on that, like, because it is, you know, it's the equivalent of Black Lives Matter for conservatives. Israel's always been the conservative Black Lives Matter virtue signal movement. They won't stand up. It's like you won't stand up for white people. So instead they stand up for Jewish people. So that's their big victim that they stand up for. But like that's just like, okay, whatever. It's a bad taste in my mouth. But then it's like, oh, anti-Semitism laws and anti-Semitism speech is banned or you'll get arrested. And then rounding up people on the streets for writing a story. It's just like that's disgusting to me. I guess it goes both ways. I never heard of this person. Some of this stuff is crazy to me. Alex Earle, I don't know if I've never heard of Alex Earle, sues Gymshark, alleging it ended a contract because she posted a pro-Israel post. Now, this woman is making millions. Apparently had a deal for $1 million for three posts. Never even heard of this person. But posted a pro-Israel thing and then lost her contract. I wonder if there's a stipulation in there. And then they ended up settling. Company settles $1 million lawsuit with Alex Earle, New Jersey TikTok star, after she supported Israel. So this thing goes both ways. I'm just sick of it all. I'm just sick of it all. I want nothing to do with any of it. Take your centuries-old holy war. Take your centuries-old, it's literally in your DNA, fight. Hatred, all of that garbage. Take it back to the Middle East. I don't want it here. I don't want it in my politics. I don't want it in my Congress. I don't want it in my tax dollars. I don't want any of it. And then it's like Greg Abbott comes out because there's some huge like Muslim city that's going up in Texas. You're like, we won't stand for this Muslim city. It's going to be stopped. Well, okay. Well, what about the illegal immigrant city? Just outside of Houston. Anything on that? By the way, do we call him Governor Hot Wheels now? Are we embracing that? I think he's embracing it in good humor. So it's a violation. Epic City. It's a violation. The East Plano Islamic Center, Epic City. That's a violation. We're shutting it down. But what about the city that was literally built for illegal immigrants? Are we shutting that down? We've let that thing go on. It's been a complete debacle, disaster. Alex Earle. Anybody ever heard of her? I never heard of her. Kind of reminds me. I was at the gym. These young guys came up to me. I had a band shirt on. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was at their concert. I'm like, what concert have you been to? He's like, I went to a Travis Scott, Cardi Boy. What's the name of it? It's not Cardi B. Cardi Boy concert. And I was literally like standing there like I felt like I was 60 years old. I was like, I've literally never heard of these people. I couldn't say a single song.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you?
everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great T-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com. Funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty. America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state, intelligence agency, controlled coup for decades in this country. We didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We try to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
Now, the one thing I want you to do, if I could ask you to do anything for America and Alex and this network and this crew, the one thing I would ask you to do, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club. It's $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy a $35 shirt, you might as well sign up for the VIP Club so that you can get that extra $10 and just get the shirt that you want. That is going to ensure that we can fund this operation, fund the next operation, and ensure that Alex always has a voice. They can try to steal his identity. They can try to steal his business. They can try to steal America. They can try to sacrifice humanity in nuclear genocide. But if you go to thealexjonesstore.com and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club, they'll never take away our voice. They'll never take away our freedom. They'll never take away free speech, and we can save America together. Please go now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate CMOS has been by far and away our best-selling product on the AlexJonesStore.com when we launched it some months ago. Now, we've had a hard time keeping the gummies in stock, so we formulated the capsules while we wait on more gummies to come in. Now, Irish CMOS is something that's known to be incredible for your body because of the natural iodine that exists in it. It's not just any iodine. It's also abundantly bioavailable. Now, if you don't know, iodine is incredible for your health and supports your body's ability to detoxify itself. Check out Ultimate CMOS capsules right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Not only are you fighting for your health, your immunity, and your body's ability to detoxify itself, but you're fighting for humanity as well by keeping Alex Jones on the air, InfoWars on the air, and this crew operating to broadcast the truth worldwide wherever it is being censored, just like your body is under relentless assault and needs Ultimate CMOS capsules in order to fight off all the toxins that you're met with, so is InfoWars under assault and needs the audience. So go to thealexjonesstore.com.
Infowars.com/show.
Give me liberty or give me death. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, we are working on getting connected with Alex Rosen, fresh out of jail. First interview since he was arrested yesterday after he had a successful sting operation catching an alleged pedophile. We'll get all the details of that. I want to go to the clip. We didn't have it earlier, but Patrick Byrne, who was with us in the second hour, just sent me the clip. So let's hear. He says something very subtle, very nuanced in this clip from Tulsi Gabbard. So this is the hearing into the that signal gate. Let's just call it that. The hearing into signal gate. And here is that clip.
I want to ask about the Alien Enemies Act real quick while I have time. The president has used the Alien Enemies Act, a wartime authority last used to detain German and Japanese nationals during World War II, to summarily deport people accused of being members of the Venezuelan gang Tren de Agua. To invoke this law, the president must demonstrate that the United States is under invasion by a foreign nation or government. They have alleged that we are under invasion by the Venezuelan government. The idea that we are at war with Venezuela would come as a surprise to most Americans. The unclassified version of the annual threat assessment the intelligence community just released makes no mention of any invasion or war that we are fighting with the nation of Venezuela. You would think our nation being at war would merit at least a small reference in this threat assessment. And Director Ratcliffe, does the intelligence community assess that we are currently at war or being invaded by the nation of Venezuela?
We have no assessment that says that.
Thank you. In invoking the law, the president alleged that Tren de Agua is, quote, undertaking hostile actions against the U.S. at the direction, clandestine or otherwise, of the Maduro regime in Venezuela. Director Gabbert, does the intelligence community assess that the Venezuelan government is directing Tren de Agua's hostile actions against the United States?
There are varied assessments that came from different intelligence community elements. I'll defer to Director Patel to speak specifically to the FBI assessment.
But let me ask you, so you're saying there are conflicting assessments that have come from the IC?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. We'll take it up in closed session.
So, huh. Kash Patel says, Mr. President, I would like a direct line to the White House and forego what might have been considered tradition in recent years of going through the DOJ. I'd like direct line access to you. Okay. Then, after CIA Director Ratcliffe says, oh, nothing with Venezuela on my end, Gabbard says, not so fast. We've got other intelligence reports. Sounds like she's nodding towards the FBI saying, no, there is something going on with Venezuela. Which, by the way, I don't need an intelligence report. The president has already given us the intelligence. Venezuela emptied its prisons and sent all of its criminals here. Now, why they did it? Did they do it just to wreak havoc? Did they do it just to clear their prisons? Were they working with some other entity here domestically? But there it is. All right. We are connected with Rosen. He's getting set up, guys. Let me know when he is ready. And we'll go to him. It sounds like, is he ready to go now? Hey, Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Fresh off of a cold slab of concrete bed, I'm sure last night, you're doing your first interview here. Why don't you just give us the laydown of how it went down and the charges you're facing, and then I guess if you want to get into the details of the person that you caught in your sting operation, you can do that as well.
Well, so unfortunately, this is the first time that I've ever been charged with a felony in my life. We attempted to catch a guy for the second time in Branson, Missouri, yesterday. The first time we caught him, his name's Joshua. He got arrested, but for whatever reason, charges got dropped. No explicable reason. He admitted to everything, admitted to trying to go meet a 13-year-old girl for sex, admitted to molesting his own sister and naming the victim, very easy for the cops to go do something about it. And unfortunately, in October, nothing happened. So, you know, obviously he reoffends, as they all do, and he messages another decoy account of ours in February, and same exact thing. He admits to molesting his sister again in the chats. And to wanting to date another 13-year-old. So this time around, I go to his job. I try to approach him there. His manager was not too happy about that and referred to me as someone who slanders people, which I don't, obviously. And, you know, I did raise my voice in the store, and I did alert the people in the store or in the restaurant that I believe this place was hiring a pedophile. And as a result of that, no threats were made. No hands were put on people. Either way, no hands were going to be put on people. I was not trying to talk to anybody in the store except for the pedo himself, but fortunately he didn't want to talk. But yeah, as a result of that, I got charged with a felony for harassment, disturbing the peace, which is a misdemeanor, and trespassing, which is another misdemeanor. We've had similar interactions in the past, like say at a Walmart or something. And at the very worst, maybe we get trespassed. But in this case, I got charged with a felony. And from what it seems like, the cops with that store manager with that restaurant owner are very, very tight with each other. And I believe in being railroaded massively. And I think they're going overboard because they didn't want to charge this pedo the first time. And it's making them look bad. So after some backlash, they actually decided to charge the pedo for our second interaction with them or our second set of chats with him. And now they claim they want to look into the first set of chats and the first interaction and the sister molestation, but we'll see. But yeah, Branson PD is very, very disappointing. It's very, very obvious that this was a situation of just railroading somebody who was exposing a pedo in their own community, not once, but twice.
Well, let me put it this way. You have the right to remain silent, okay? You have the right to have your attorney with you. We'll leave it at that. But I'm curious about a couple things. What is the felony that you're being charged with?
The felony is a class E felony in Missouri, which is the lowest felony. It's for harassment, and harassment is if you intentionally cause emotional distress to somebody without a good cause. And the victim in this quote-unquote felony or the quote-unquote victim is the store owner, which I didn't even know who she was before I got in the store. I had no intention of wanting to talk to her. I wanted to talk to the person who I'm there to confront. And obviously, I don't want to cause her any distress. I mean, that's not what I want to do. I'd rather just talk to the person whose chats we have. But it says if there is not a good reason to do it. And I believe that employing somebody who admitted to molesting his own sister, who works in a place that a lot of people his sister's age go to, I think that's a pretty good reason to, bring awareness to it.
I'd be stunned if a judge and a jury didn't agree with you on that.
I think we have a pretty good defense. I mean, I got charged with trespassing, too. Maybe that's something that we need to fight a little bit hard, but I think for disturbing the peace and harassment, I mean, there's no way. I mean, I have messages of him saying he did this to a 12-year-old. I have a video the first time I confronted him of him saying that. I mean, I'm pretty saddened that he was working at a place around children and that they hired him back after initially firing him the first time. It's beyond me.
What did the officer say when this is all happening?
Well, It was weird. At first, the officers just seemed like they were just going to kick us out of the place, which, fine. As soon as they came, we got off the property or went to the very, very edge of the property, just obviously out of the view of, like, the patrons or cat, Matt ever say that word. And, it really just, they were like, oh, I think I heard about your incident in October coming here. And you were like, yeah, that was us. And seemed like very chill, seemed like we were just going to be let go. And then they go in to talk to the restaurant owner, and then they come out and start Mirandizing me, and I'm like, oh, crap, I'm going to jail. So, they're very tight, and I heard that there's definitely a conflict of interest. I mean, this restaurant owner apparently gives the cops free food, and the cop even told me that she's a really good person. So obviously I think something was said inside that she wanted them to throw the book at me, and they weren't going to say no to that.
Wow. But originally, and I want to make sure I got this right, originally they weren't going to arrest the individual that was texting you about whatever it is you were just mentioning, and I'm sure there's other stuff in there too. Originally they weren't going to arrest that individual, but then they ended up doing so?
Right. So the first time when we caught him with no incidents where we're just like, hey, here he is. Cops come. He admits everything in front of the cops as well. They do arrest him. The DA ends up not filing charges despite penis pictures, messages trying to solicit a 13-year-old girl for sex, him admitting he wants to do that, him admitting to molesting his own 12-year-old sister. Nothing happened. They only arrested him for our second incident so far, where, you know, I kind of raised my voice in a restaurant, because there was so much backlash of like, why in the heck are they arresting Alex, but they're not arresting this guy who has been caught twice.
Have you made a bust in Branson before?
Just on that guy, just twice on that same guy.
Okay. So it seems like this is kind of the experience, I guess, you're going to get when you go there to do it. Is there some reason it's not enforceable with just the messages?
It is enforceable with the messages. I mean, this time around, they charged him with enticement of a minor, and they charged him with attempting to disseminate, you know, basically sending the penis pic to who he thought was a minor. That's what the charge was. You know, the verbiage is like legalese, but they could have done this the first time, and they could have looked into the him molesting his own sister and naming her too, which they did not do.
Did you guys share a jail cell?
No, he was across from me, and I saw we looked through the window at each other a couple times, but I'm glad I wasn't in the cell with him, because I would have caught some STD. He was pretty nasty.
Yikes. And he was working in food service.
Yeah, he was working at a food service. So yes, he would send a dick pic to who he thought was a 13-year-old girl, then go to work that same day.
I don't know if you've even had time to check. You've only been out of jail for a couple hours. Has this gotten the most media attention of any bust you've made?
Maybe so. Yeah, national news wise, it seems like it is, and we're definitely going to be documenting this whole thing. I think it looks very bad on Branson PD for arresting me for bringing a confessed pedophile to their attention twice.
Well, it's certainly interesting. I don't want to take up any more of your time now. You're just, you know, try to enjoy some sun. I know what it's like to spend a night in a cold, hard cell. So it's good to see you out and about. You've got a legal fight ahead of you. I don't see how a judge or jury doesn't see your side of this story, and I would assume favors your side of this incident as well. But I suppose time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely. We retained a lawyer already, and yeah, we're looking forward to it. And we're on the way to our next bust right now, right out of jail. So we're ready for this guy.
Can't say I'm surprised by that. Can say I'm surprised that this happened in what is a very red area, but I'm not surprised that old Red Beard is heading to bust another one. All right, well, Godspeed, my friend.
Godspeed to you, too. Talk soon.
That is crazy. What's next, guys? Holy smokes. Final 10 minutes of the show. I do have some other news here. Folks, remember to support us. Remember to support us, thealexjonesstore.com. We have the super sale going on right now. Big discounts on T-shirts and supplements. Don't forget the limited edition silver coin, the Alex Jones coin. If you're a big fan of Alex Jones, if you've been an Alex Jones listener for a long time, InfoWars listener for a long time, this piece of InfoWars history, this piece of Alex Jones memorabilia, you're going to really like it. And it is at an introductory rate of 20% off right now. It's got the InfoWars box logo with the stars behind it, 2025 on one side. And then on the other side, the Alex Jones portrait with the signature and the American flag behind it on the other. This silver coin is limited edition. It will sell out. It is at 20% off right now for an introductory rate. And when you purchase this coin, you ensure that Alex Jones will stay on the air. And you get another discount if you become a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. You can get an even bigger discount. So become a member. Find out about all the membership benefits by going to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. All right. What else do we have? We actually got a lot here. We got the university PhD student getting rounded up on the streets for writing a pro-Palestinian story like we're in a communist nation. Really makes you think. We got Kristi Noem. You know, there's a lot of theatrics with Kristi Noem, but I still think she's overall probably doing a good job. And if so, she wants to be kind of theatrical about it and doll herself up, I'll allow it as long as you get the job done. I think she's doing a pretty good job. And she was down in El Salvador. It's pretty crazy. She's in the prison where all the gang members are. Can you even imagine how this video shoot went? You guys just put it on the screen. What do? They go in there and they say, hey, stand up and face the cameras because a member of the Trump administration is here to shoot a video with you in the background. And, you know, this is where they're working with El Salvador to actually send some of the illegal immigrant criminals that are rounded up here. And El Salvador has volunteered to help in imprisoning those violent criminals in that effort. But I just sheer optics, DHS Barbie in front of the hardcore gang criminals at the jail. I got to say, it goes pretty hard. A lot of people are kind of giving her a hard time, and that's fine. But I'd say it actually goes kind of hard. So DHS Barbie standing in front of all the violent criminals. I mean, you ever been to a prison like that, folks? You know, it's not exactly a comfortable environment. And she did it. So, all right. There's that. Here's an interesting breakdown of Trump's executive order on securing our elections that I thought was worthy of playing. And I'll offer in response, but what is it? Why did Trump feel motivated to really emphasize foreign influence and foreign funding that pours into our elections? Here it is broken down in a short 2 minutes in clip 10.
Trump just might have banned AIPAC. Yeah, you heard me right. Trump may have just banned AIPAC from donating in our elections. Trump signed this executive order today protecting the integrity of American elections, and I was reading through it because it's very lengthy, and I came across this one point, and I knew I needed to make a separate video about it. So it says this at the beginning. Federal law 52 U.S. Code prohibits foreign nationals from participating in federal, state, or local elections by making any contributions or expenditures. But foreign nationals and non-governmental organizations have taken advantage of loopholes in the law's interpretation, spending millions of dollars through conduit contributions and ballot initiative-related expenditures. This type of foreign interference in our election process undermines the franchise and the right of American citizens to govern their republic. Amen. Now, later in the executive order, it says the policy. So what they're actually going to do about this. It says the Attorney General, in consultation with the Secretary of the Treasury, shall prioritize enforcement of 52 U.S. Code and other appropriate laws. And here it is, guys, to prevent foreign nationals from contributing or donating in United States elections. I did what any sane person would do, and I copied the text and put it in ChatGPT, and I asked it, would that mean that AIPAC is banned? And it says possibly, but only if AIPAC or its affiliated PACs received money directly or indirectly from foreign nationals, or foreign nationals were involved in decisions about how AIPAC spent money. I mean, it sounds like it would. Maybe I'm getting a little too excited because President Trump has received millions of dollars from AIPAC or other pro-Israel groups. We're just going to have to see what happens, but let me know your thoughts. Do you think that means AIPAC will be banned from donating in our elections? Or is that just wishful thinking? Let me know your thoughts and make sure you're following me for more.
So I do think it's an interesting breakdown, and that's why I felt it was worthy of playing. Now, AIPAC has become one of the biggest topics of discussion, and for obvious reason. It's one of the biggest lobbying groups. It spends money on both parties, and it has a very high success rate. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars every election cycle. And I think the number is like 97% of Congress has an AIPAC donor. It gets AIPAC money. Thomas Massie has talked about this. He's one of the few that doesn't, and that's why they're constantly trying to primary him and spending millions of dollars to get rid of him. Now, the catch here, or the loophole that they use, is that it's technically an American group that just lobbies on behalf of Israel. Now you, but see, it's all about interpretation and application, because you think about the issue with foreign nationals, and now you've got the dual loyalty bill that's going to get through Congress. We'll see how that one goes, but it all kind of ties together, because whether or not you think AIPAC is foreign lobbying money or not that should be registered under FARA, or if it falls under these categories of foreign nationals, maybe it's open for interpretation. But what's very clear is that the group's interests are Israel's interests. That is undebatable. And it's undebatable that it's one of the most powerful foreign lobbying groups, if not the most powerful foreign lobbying group in D.C., even though the catch is that, it's not foreign, it's just Americans. Well, this is a very hot topic right now, I think, especially considering all the extreme loyalty that's being shown to Israel and the extreme concern that's being shown to Israel out of this administration, and then the prioritization of Jewish students at college campuses by the federal government instead of things that should concern the federal government and that should concern local governments and campus police. So this conversation is not going away. But I would say that is not Trump's agenda with that. I'd be stunned if it was. But nonetheless, it's the whole executive order is a serious business. That is true. The whole executive order is very serious business. All right, let's close out with this. Luigi Mangione is standing trial for the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO. Heart-shaped note found in socks sent to Luigi Mangione, prosecutors say. He's literally getting love letters. They're doing graffiti and art, basically treating him like a hero because they believe he killed a healthcare CEO who was also happens to be a father. Now, think about it like this. You want to see where the left is really at. You want to see the truth about the American left. This story is it right here. Now, Mangione is going to be fighting this in court. Okay. And imagine you go through the process. Mangione goes through the process, declares himself innocent, and then is declared not guilty. Well, guess what? So the left doesn't love him anymore. Think about that. The only reason why the left, these leftist radicals, love Luigi Mangione is because they think he's a killer. If Luigi Mangione is not a killer, do they still love him? Do they still send him heart-shaped notes? Do they still paint murals for him on buildings? No. The only reason they like him is because they think he's a killer. Do you understand why these leftists are so dangerous now? Are you getting it?
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, everything we broke down over the years has turned out to be dead on. Most of the time when we were a little bit off, it was because things were much worse than we were saying. But in the main, we've been dead on. That's our mission, be the most accurate out there. MSM's mission is to deceive you, lie to you because they're mercenaries for the globalists. And we're funded by viewers and listeners like you. So we try to bring you products that really work, that you're going to love, so you come back and get them again and again. So many of you are going to be excited to hear that our ultimate turmeric formula is back in stock. The Shilajit is the best quality. The Irish Sea Moss is available as well. You're going to want to reorder it. But for viewers that haven't ever gotten the products and haven't experienced them, you are missing out. If our information is game-changing and one of a kind, imagine what the products are like. Go now to TheAlexShowStore.com. There's obviously supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and more at TheAlexShowStore.com, powering the American resistance to globalists worldwide and winning.
Here's where all eyes now are on gold and silver. Because gold went over $3,000 an ounce, it's at an all-time high. That's a very strong technical and psychological threshold number, that 3,000. So now that the world is looking at gold,
the world is also going to be looking at silver. So even the massive growth that we've already seen, I'm guessing it's just the beginning.
Gut level, where do you think gold is in a month?
3,100 in a month, like in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And then I think it gets to 3,200 by the beginning of the summer. And we could literally see 4,000 as momentum starts to gather and as the eyes of the world get on it. And then silver, you know, probably 50 to 75.
People need to call you, do a free consultation, leave your name and number, 720-605-3900, kpm.com/gold. Do the form. They'll call you back. They'll do a free consultation. They can roll over your IRAs, 401ks. Do it now, folks. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much.
My pleasure. See ya.
It's good to be right, isn't it? Wow.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.